This week, the gaming industry once relied on console and feature exclusivity, but more and more staples are opening their doors to competitors in order to reach a wider audience. With obvious pros, this change can also bring cons. We'll tell you about this and more starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Forge Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. Tonight, episode number 722 for this March the 11th of 2018. My name is Rob Roberts, here with you in studio to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. And typically, I would be joined by the one and only Jamie Summers, or Dark Sakura. However, she is not here tonight. She got pretty sick after a day trip yesterday, so I hope she is feeling better. I understand she was kind of up all night and not feeling so great. So I did check in with her about an hour ago over texting, and she's already feeling a lot better. But because she didn't sleep at all last night, she thought she would sit the night out. So it's just myself here and Techmaster Loki.
Who needs sleep?
Who needs sleep? That's right. You mentioned before you haven't been getting much sleep either.
No.
But, you know, she's had some medical stuff a couple months ago, so I think it's a little different for her than it is for you or me.
Right.
Me, I'm just dealing with the whole daylight savings time thing, which to our live folks, you know, depending on where you live, if you're in like Arizona, Hawaii, or maybe another country, we might have shifted our time, our lifetime a little bit because we had daylight savings just happen here, which means it was spring forward. It was the anti-share, because usually you get to share that meme that says, "If I could turn back time," or "Don't forget to turn back time," or whatever that thing is, right? That's that meme that's out there. But this is the one where it's actually you can't. It's not turning back time. It's springing forward time. So the share meme doesn't work so well. But that also means everybody loses an hour of sleep. But I'm actually okay with it, even though I'm a little bit like, oh, I'm disoriented. I'm like, wow, it's daylight and we're just starting OLR. I'm a little disoriented with all of that. It's still, I really love that it stays lighter longer at night.
I also love that the sun's not in my eyes on my way to work.
Yeah, that's also a nice benefit as well, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really good, especially because y'all know we do a lot of location-based gaming. You know, we've talked about, you know, Pokemon Go and Ingress and some of those other location-based games. We'll probably play Harry Potter and all the new ones, too. Hell, I'll even try that Ghostbusters thing we talked about a couple weeks ago. But it's nicer when it's lighter, longer, so that there's more time to actually go outside and play some of those games, you know? You're not, like, creeping around in a park when it's already dark. So, yeah, I'm all for daylight savings. I wish they would just keep it this way all the time. But I know they don't want to do that for whatever reason.
Farmers.
That's right.
And think
darn
of the
those
children
farmers.
And think of the children farmers.
All right. Well, anyhow, we want to go to our chatters because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show over at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. And by the way, speaking of VogNetwork.com, our lovely home of the past, oh gosh, been at least 5 years, we've been here at VogNetwork.com. Did you know, Loki, that this very broadcast we're doing right now is the 1,000th live broadcast at VogNetwork.com. If you take every live Bobby show, every live Anime Jam session, Understation Live, and any like special thing that showed up in there, like when we did Indie Arcade and stuff, this would be the 1,000th broadcast at VogNetwork.com that's live. So, cool.
Yeah.
Yay. I don't know how we commemorate that, but if I had a drink in front of my hand, I would take a sip right now. There you go. Here's to you, VOG Network. And here's to you, our chatters at live.vognetwork.com, where SSG100 Matt says farmers don't even use it anymore.
It just annoys everybody. It's just something we haven't taken out. We just haven't, I don't know, gotten rid of it.
Bobby Blackwolf says Florida just passed a law petitioning U.S. Congress to make it daylight savings time all the time in Florida. Yeah, I heard that, you know, in order to get rid of daylight savings, I guess this is what they'd have to do. But this is the right it's the first time in a very long time I'm saying Florida's doing it the right way because we want it to be daylight savings all the time.
Just someone tell Trump that Obama loves daylight savings and then he'll get rid of it. Or that he made that a thing, that he'll get rid of it.
Yeah, okay,
it's a reverse psychology.
It's something that was passed under Obama.
Yeah, Obama did that. I mean, he doesn't know anything. I mean, he'll just like, oh, crap, I got to get rid of that.
No, I got it. Bobby says, no, we want to get rid of standard time. We like daylight savings.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
We'll work that out.
Well, just say
out.
The standard time is like the metric system. And, of course, we'll just try to stay away from that because, you know, the metric system made sense. And we have to do things our way.
We'll figure out a way to get the message across. Let's see. Also going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Raginator wants to know, What bacon-fied food did Loki bring to the studio tonight?
I'm dieting, believe it or not. I've been dieting for like a few weeks now, so I didn't bring bacon-fied food. I've been very good. I have, like, say, because I have that, you know, my fitness guru or whatever the hell that, like, stupid app is that you track your calories in.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing that for at least 3 or 4 weeks now.
Good for you.
And down, like, 10 pounds. So, no, I have a Subway sandwich just because I couldn't decide what I wanted to eat. And I know what the calories are of that.
Yeah, as far as fast food goes, like, Subway is really one of your best choices if you cut out, you know, mayonnaise and
I do mayonnaise, but I do mayonnaise, but I do the light mayo there because that does save 100 calories. And then I don't really get a ton of stuff on it. It's high in sodium, so that's the only bad thing. But I was just like, I don't know what I want. And like, I was sitting there, like, even 2 hours before I left, I'm like, what the hell am I going to have for dinner? And it's like, okay, well, I can have tacos or I can have Subway. Those are my options. I was like, well, I don't really want tacos today.
It's interesting you talk about the 10-pound landmark because I've been dieting a little longer than you, but I just passed the 10-pound landmark myself. My diet's been all about, like, portion control. Like, I've really been bad about snacking, about, like, you know, I would sit here during the show with, like, a bowl of chips and, you know, all that stuff, and I've really kind of cut back on a lot of that. So I've lost 10 pounds doing that, but, y'all, Friday I had a really bad cheat day. I had a really bad cheat day Friday.
Well,
not only did I make it my one day during the week that I went out to lunch at work and I got Taco Bell, and I ate all right at Taco Bell. Like, I didn't eat crazy. Like, I just got like a chicken burrito with no sauce. You know, again, it's a lot of times I don't want to rob myself of the stuff I like.
Right.
Like, if I'm craving Taco Bell, I'm going to go to fucking Taco Bell. But instead of ordering, you know, steak quesadillas slobbered in sauce and all this stuff, I'll get, like, you know, a chicken burrito with no sauce. You know, I'll try to cut corners where I can.
Yeah, I've just been cutting out soda except for the Red Bulls. But
oh, yeah, no soda. Soda's
yeah,
very bad.
It's been mainly no soda. Just, you know, I'll have like a Red Bull almost each day, not really. And it's usually been like the smaller ones. I got a larger one today because, like I was telling Rob, I've been up to 1 a.m. for like the whole week. And, you know, with daylight savings, so I'm like kind of tired. And I've been with my kids for the whole weekend going to multiple birthday parties. So I'm beat. I need caffeine to wake up. But normally I've been pretty good about it. And like, instead of snacking on pretzels and stuff, I've been eating like protein bars and, you know, healthier choices,
good,
if possible. No fast food, except for maybe, you know, occasionally I'll go to Rubio's because they've got, you know, their fish tacos are actually not so bad for you.
Make good choices.
Yes.
It's all about that.
And DDR.
I didn't finish my story. I made bad choices on Friday, but this does tie to gaming because some of my Ingress buddies, including some of the people you heard here on the show, you know, back in January, wanted to get together because, you know, sometimes, like, the group in Ingress, like, we all generally, I think, anyway, we all kind of like each other, you know, and, you know, I've made friends through that game and so forth. So some folks suggested, hey, there's a food truck festival over at the park in East Sacramento. Let's go to the food truck festival and then we'll, you know, eat some food. And then there's a ton of portals right there because it's a park. And then we'll do like a farm and it'll be like a night thing. So we did. I went to the food truck festival. Oh my God. I ate bad because they have Buckhorn Barbecue and I have a big weakness for their tri-tip. It was really good. So I ate that. And then it was like, well, I got to see what these local food trucks have. And it was ice cream. Loki, I got like this big old waffle cone with ice cream, and it was peppermint sauce and crushed Andes mints. It was so flippin' good. But needless to say, when it came to my weigh-in today, I'd gained 2 of my 2 pounds back that I'd lost midweek. So, whoops, had a little bit of a setback. But, you know, that's all right. I'll make better choices moving forward. And the important part is I had a really good time Friday night. So, you know, because then after we farmed, it was like some of us splintered off. We're like, let's go smash all the blue on the grid because we're right here. Woo, let's go. So, you know, we had a good time. So, but yeah, it wasn't my best diet choices.
Well, yeah. And I am going to get into the bacon stuff at some point. I do want to get back on, like, because I wanted to go on like the keto diet, but that requires me to do a lot of food planning. Like, right now, it's kind of like on a whim, like, here's what I've got, you know, and what do I want for lunch? I don't know, you know, let's pick something. You know, so, like, basically, breakfast has always been, like, a yogurt and, like a granola bar or something like that. And then lunch is usually whatever's nearby, so I'll do either, like, a 6-inch sub at Subway, you know, that's, like, only 300 calories or something, mm-hmm. and then, or like a couple tacos from Rubio's, which actually aren't that many calories, so I get those. And then dinner, usually I will skip dinner or like just have something very light so I don't feel like I'm going to pass out. Right. But I've been like even under like, because I have my goal in the app to lose a pound a week, but I've been way under that on calorie wise.
So anyway, I didn't mean to make this a diet show, but it's just something I think we're all kind of going through right now here at OLR. And, you know, it does kind of tie to gaming, because if you're playing a lot of video games, you're kind of looking at yourself going, I got
exactly,
a little bigger.
Exactly.
Just,
yeah.
I have to do, you know, again, I'm not a doctor, disclaimer, but just try making better choices. Like, don't take the bag of Doritos with you to the couch when you play a video game or watch Netflix. Instead, you know, leave it in the kitchen or take some carrots or celery, even though I know that sounds super lame, but you just make better choices.
And even if you don't want to do the dieting stuff, like, just at least track your calories and be honest with what you're eating.
Yeah.
And just see how much, like, you'll be like, holy crap, you know?
Yeah,
just make
little adjustments. You don't have to, like, sometimes when people diet, and maybe, and that's what works for some people. Again, I'm not here to tell you what works for you. But I know for me, like, I can't do this radical fucking shift where it's like, I'm going to go on Atkins. I'm just picking on
a diet. I'm going to eat salad every day. Fuck that.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work for me. I can't do a radical change, but I can go, where could I make some improvements? What, like, little things could I adjust? Maybe something this week and something next week that would help. And so far, knock on wood, so good.
Yeah. So like I was still going fast food, but instead of getting a large, I'd get like, you know, the regular size and like get, you know, a smaller soda and start with that. Or, you know, then I got it without soda and I stopped going the fast food and I, you know, just cut down the calories and cut down what I'm eating. And then eventually it's just like, okay, I want to do diet and exercise. So it was just mainly portion control and now tracking calories, you know, watching how much everything costs. It's like, you know, I don't have enough to go there. Like, or if I went, like, we went to birthday parties this week, so I was like, okay, I can only have one slice of pizza instead of I'm going to eat as much pizza as I can, you know, I'm going to drink tons of soda. It was like, okay, I can't really afford to eat that slice of pizza. I'll just eat this one and no soda.
Pizza at those
places
sucks anyway.
Yes, I've had pizza at Chuck E. Cheese and pizza at some other like place, and it's not terrible. But
all right, let's wrap up this topic. I do want to just quickly say, though, to tie it back to gaming, Dr. Tetsuya says, I can't speak for my diet, but I did start playing DDR semi-regularly again. There you go. Exercise,
yes,
gaming.
Exactly.
There you go. And that's DDR with your machine has been a big part of what you're doing, too,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I've been playing lots of DDR.
That's what I need. I need a DDR machine.
Hurt.
Alan,
so
you out there? I need a DDR machine. All right. Let's get into gaming news. Kickoff topic tonight before we get to our gaming weeks. Look, I know everybody out there probably already heard about this, the Nintendo Direct that happened this week. And let's just skip to it. Look, I know people that seek out gaming podcasts, you probably have some awareness of what's going on in gaming already. If somehow you've missed it, if you're not on social media or something like that, if somehow you've missed it, by the way, Nintendo dropped a little bit of a bombshell at the end of their Direct that they confirmed Super Smash Bros. For the Nintendo Switch. It's happening, and it's happening in 2018, per the trailer. And a pretty clever little reveal they did. You know, they made it look like a Splatoon trailer at the beginning, which was funny because it came right on the heels of a bunch of Splatoon announcements. So for me personally, I was like, oh, this is Smash, because we've already seen all the Splatoon announcements, and they hyped this up as one more thing. But I bet there were a lot of people that were thinking, you know, somebody in chat I saw said, oh, maybe it was a Splatoon port for 3DS or something, was like the one more thing. But anyway, of course, it ended up, so you have like 30 seconds of the Inkling kids shooting each other, and then all of a sudden the lights go out. You know, and then it's like this, the sun is rising and it's a big flame sun. It's very intimidating. It's very scary for a Nintendo game. And the reflection of the fire sun is in the Inkling girl's eyes. And sure enough, it's the Smash Brothers logo. And then a hint of Shadow Mario, a hint of Breath of the Wild Link, and then a hint of like 20 other silhouettes that YouTubers have analyzed to death about who is in the game already. But there you go. Smash Brothers confirmed for 2018, assuming they don't push it back. But I'm assuming Nintendo must be pretty confident that they're going to make 2018, or they wouldn't have announced it right now. So, Loki, Smash Brothers, what'd you think?
I don't, you know, really play much Smash Brothers. I haven't really played much of my Wii, to be honest.
Really?
My son's really monopolized that. But, I mean, I like Smash Brothers on the Wii, but I don't play it, like, you know, religiously. It's with even like a lot of fighting games, it's more of like you have to be good in order to be able to play this online, you know, that type of thing.
I think Smash is a fun party game to have. I like to just have it on hand for when I have people, even though I rarely have people over anymore these days. But when I do have people over, like, Smash is one of those things I like to have. You know, it's a great party game. And it's really easy to kind of pick up and play, too, especially, you know, support so many different types of controllers. And I'm assuming with the Switch, you know, every Switch has two controllers by default, right? So I'm assuming you'll be able to play either with both of them in the dog ears, or you'll be able to, you know, pop them out and just play with the controller by itself. I'm sure it'll work fine.
But how are we going
to
plug in GameCube controllers?
I thought they were already working on something like that for the Switch. I thought we already saw some type of GameCube adapter thing for the Switch, and that was the big clue that Nintendo was working on a Smash Brothers for Switch. Of course they were working on a Smash Brothers for Switch. Of course they were going to do it. The big question was...
Going back to Splatoon, I'm surprised they don't have guest characters in Splatoon. Like, playing as, like, Mario from Mario Sunshine or something like that, or, you know...
Wait. Anything is possible. But the Splatoon kids do seem to be the brand new characters in everything, right? Because they were the big new reveal in Mario Kart 8.
I can see it now. They can... Their ability, they're going to have a unique ability where they can spray ink on the ground and turn into a squid and go really fast and dive through there. That's going to be the next fucking E3 thing.
Why not? No, they'll announce more characters at E3. They're gonna start to confirm some of the... Because now we know that Smash is happening ahead of E3. Smash is going to be that Nintendo line that is fucking insane at the booth, especially with the public being able to get into E3 now. Like... If you needed a reason to go to E3 as the public, here you go.
And they're going to have like a Smash Invitational with the new game. Yeah.
Have fun in that five-hour line waiting to play Smash Brothers, being one of the first. But that's where you're going to get your big reveal.
Get in line at Best Buy.
Maybe. You're right. Maybe if we're lucky, we would see something where the local stores will have a type of demo. We don't know. It's a little too far out to be able to say. Looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf says Smash is their holiday 2018 tentpole. Yep, looks like it.
Yeah,
at this
probably.
Point. Tiger Claw says I wouldn't be surprised if Shovel Knight are characters in the new Smash Brothers. They have an amiibo, so it's a given. Well, you know who else is getting an amiibo based on what we saw in the Nintendo Direct is Dark Souls dude. Right, is getting a Praise the Sun amiibo.
I would love like that stuff in there. Like, they have another Smash like game that has, I forget what it's called, but they have one that has like some of these guest characters in there. There was actually, it was a Kickstarter, I think, that had a bunch of these indie games. They had the guy from VVV. They had, I think, Shovel Knight was in there and a bunch of the other guys from a bunch of these other games.
And the Switch has been really heavy on indie stuff. So, honestly, the time has never been better for Shovel Knight or Shantae. You know, I know there's been a lot of fan campaigns around the time has never been better for those guys to show up in Smash Brothers. So here's the question a lot of people are asking. And I know some of you believe you have the...
What about Dylan?
Hold on. I know some of you believe you have the definitive answer to this based on tweets and so forth, but a lot of people are asking, port or new game? Is it a port or is it a new game?
People are suggesting that it's a new game because the logo is slightly different than the one that they had for the Wii U and 3DS.
I believe it's a new game, and it's nothing to do with that. I think it's just... I think what it is, it's not going to be necessarily a radical reinvention of the last game. If that makes sense. Like, I think it's going to be very similar to what we saw between Splatoon 2 and Splatoon 1. Like, Splatoon 2, it's great. I mean, I'm not knocking. It's just, it took a lot of what worked in Splatoon 1 and just kind of refined it and made it better. And I have a really good, strong feeling that that's where we're at with this new Smash Brothers game, whatever it is. It's not necessarily going to be a port, but it's just going to be, you know, they're going to take the formula and... It's going to be very similar, I think, in some ways. I think you'll see a lot of returning stuff. For example, I don't see any reason why they need to cut a single character out of the game, save for maybe some of the third-party stuff. Because, you know, I know y'all might think, oh, it's easy because Namco works on the game to get Pac-Man back in the game and all that stuff. You know,
Nobody cares about Pac-Man.
Well, I like playing Pac-Man. Fuck you. I like Championship Edition on Switch right now, too. I was playing that this week. So fuck you. Fuck you two times. But anyway, I would like for Pac-Man to come back. But, I mean, I don't think any third-party character is ever a given. But I don't see any reason why all the first-party things won't come right back, save for maybe some Pokemon swaps. You know, maybe instead of having some dedicated Pokemon characters, I think you'll have Pikachu and Jigglypuff. Like, those are the two musts. But then everything else, you know, you might see them switch something out for something new. we'll see. But I don't see any reason why they'd cut anything. In fact, I would hope they're going to bring ice climbers back. Because now the reason why ice climbers didn't happen in the Wii U was because of the 3DS version, where they were worried about having like eight players this ice climber all at once. It was too much on the system of drain. That shouldn't be a problem with the Switch. So I hope ice climbers is back.
Shouldn't have been a problem on the 3DS either, but yeah. Whatever.
But anyway, I'm sure character wank is going to make up so many blogs and tweets and other podcasts you listen to. Like, I don't know what else we could add to that. Fine. A tiny little bit of character wank. What character would you want to see in the game, Loki? Reasonably. Realistically.
Realistically? Like, I've always been saying, and I can't just pick one. I mean, okay, so obscure character that I would like to see in the game, just because the game never came out over here, and I feel that it would have been a great game because it was just so strange. It featured a bunch of non-focused on character. Like, Captain Rainbow should be in the game. But, like they have other characters from, like, the Mario games that they just completely forget about nowadays. Like, Birdo. Put Birdo in the fucking game or something.
You just named the character that I was going to say. Birdo. I want to. That's fine. I want to see some Super Mario Brothers 2 love. Birdo or Wart, I would like to see.
Wart, yeah.
Yeah, like Wart has been gone forever. Like, what has Wart done? They somehow actually killed Wart. They can't seem to make Bowser or any of his children disappear ever, but they somehow killed Wart. So that Mario Brothers 2 love would be on my list.
Or Geno.
Hmm.
I mean,
or we could go like really obscure and name some of the
Mallow too, yeah.
The stuff from Super Mario Land, the Game Boy one that was like way different than most Mario games. Yeah. Anyway, so all right. So mine is Birdo. Yours is.
I would say probably Captain Rainbow.
Okay, Captain
just
Rainbow.
Because it's such a weird character.
I would also take Tingle. I would also accept. I know he was. I think Tingle was an assist, but I would accept Tingle as a full character. I think though. Like, if we're getting Breath of the Wild Link, how do we not get Linkle? With how popular Linkle has been in, like, the fan community and stuff, how do we not get Linkle in the next Smash Brothers? That's...
I don't know. I
kind of think that's a given.
They do like a lot of the gender swap stuff, so they may do
yeah,
that.
Why not?
They did it with this Fire Emblem. Like, no offense to Fire Emblem, but there's way too many Fire Emblem characters.
I'm totally fine if they cut some of the Fire Emblem characters. Sorry, guys, but that, and I think if they do cut things,
or if they can do like one character that's like, you know, color swaps or something like that, where it's, oh, the color swaps are different characters.
I would say the other thing that might be in danger are the Miis and that whole thing, because I kind of feel like the emphasis on Switch, I know they still exist, but I kind of feel like the emphasis has been taken away from that a little bit, so I wouldn't be surprised if the Miis get retired, but we'll see. I mean, anything's possible. Anything's possible. Again, there's really no reason to cut anything, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on Smash Brothers wank, but it's everywhere this week, right? People are really excited about this game. It brings a lot of the best in Nintendo under one roof. It's really easy for anybody to pick up. This is why people are excited about it. And these games do sell really well.
I would hope though that we do see some indie support.
I do, because I think the Switch owes a lot of its early success to the indies. Like, I would love to see like a Rocket League car as an assist. Like, obviously that can't be a character, but a Rocket League car as an assist I think would be pretty rad. You know, and some of the other stuff we named, like Shovel Knight, Shantae.
Let's get Steve from, oh well, that would be really crazy, like as a crossover character. Like Steve from Minecraft as a playable character.
That would be pretty badass if they pull it
off.
I
don't think they would do it, but...
I don't know. Microsoft ain't stupid. They know how big Smash Brothers is, and, you know, they don't really see themselves competing with the Switch, I don't think.
I don't know. It's weird. That would just be cool. Like,
Minecraft Steve is a character. That would be huge if that was announced, but I don't know. That's kind of on the... It's not on the... Like, on the plausibility scale, that's a little lower.
Right, exactly.
All right. Anyway, what else? Right. What else, Loki? What else out of the Nintendo Direct? Because there's other stuff, too.
Yeah, so there was a lot of... they started off with a lot of 3DS news. So, of course, they have a new Dylan game coming out. So, Dylan's Dead Heat Breakers. And if you don't remember who Dylan was like this armadillo-type game, which I... Don't understand why he's not a character in Smash Brothers yet, but whatever. So that's scheduled to be coming out. They're remaking Luigi's Mansion for the 3DS.
In other news that nobody asked for. I mean, like, why? I don't... Okay, here's the thing. I'm not trying to hate on the 3DS, but I really feel like the 3DS has run its course. Like, I get that there's still the loyalists out there for the 3DS. You paid good money for it. I understand. There's a very rich library on 3DS, but y'all, Pokemon has moved off the 3DS. That system's days are numbered. I don't understand why we're continuing to crank out 3DS support through 2019 when... And here's my thing. If the Switch wasn't also portable, I wouldn't feel so strongly on this, but they're redundant. Those two systems to me are now redundant because, okay, sure, the 3DS has two screens. Big fucking whoop. You can have good screen real estate on the Switch at this point as well, you know? And the Switch also has a touchscreen. It's portable. I just, you know, but to be fair, before somebody, you know, says, Rob, you're not considering this, I understand that games aren't developed overnight, you know, and Nintendo knew they were taking a risk with the Switch. And so they probably had 3DS games in the pipeline for quite some time. This is where the Metroid game last year fits into, right? Because if the Switch had bombed, Nintendo would have put so much more stock in that Metroid game. I mean, not to say they didn't, but you know what I mean? Like, they would have really been amping that Metroid game as, like, to drive more 3DS sales because they would have been really investing themselves in that. And I think you'd see even more on the 3DS right now. But luckily, the Switch has been a success. So I think with that, it's time to focus on the Switch, and maybe we don't need a port of a fucking... what I kind of think is an overrated GameCube game. Sorry, I know Luigi's Mansion has its fans, but if you're going to bring something over from the GameCube in the Mario universe, bring Super Mario Sunshine over, but put it on the Switch.
Sorry, Rama, but Luigi's second tier.
The year of Luigi, it's over.
It's over.
Just kidding, but you'll always be my favorite Luigi, Rama, if you're out there somewhere. Anyway,
Luigi doesn't have a holiday each year like Mario does.
This is the year of Splatoon, or so, what was it? The year of the ink? No, what did they say it was? They didn't say the year of Splatoon. They said the year of the Octo Kid, something like that. Didn't you catch that towards the end? He was doing the little figure eight.
No, oh,
forget it. Yeah, thank you, Act Deft. Year of the Octolings. That was it. Yeah, they said that. I don't think it's like a... I think it was just more of a, like, tongue-in-cheek comment.
Year of the Octolings. And then F-Zero's over here going, but what about me? You just got a game, like, a few years ago. It's like, what about me?
Captain Falcon will be in Smash. That's a good standby. There'll be an F-Zero stage that'll make us go, why don't they put the fucking F-Zero on the Switch? God damn it.
Fucking dropkick those Inklings in the
face. Or it'll be really funny because what'll happen is that Captain Falcon will be in there, but the stage will be from Fast Racing Remix. And so, and somebody will be like, oh, I got confused. Sorry, y'all. Sorry about that.
They're doing an amiibo for Solera of Astoria, which is from Dark Souls. And Dark Souls Remastered, of course, is coming out May 25th on the Switch.
A series that I super didn't really get into, but I know the series has its fans. So interesting. The amiibo thing is really kind of neat. So, I mean, I guess it really shows that Nintendo wants us to succeed. And since Skyrim did so well, I mean, it probably stands to do pretty well.
Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker is coming to the Switch, and they're going to have new levels based on Super Mario Odyssey. And that's coming out on July 13th. And they're also doing a port to the 3DS as well. This is pretty awesome. South Park, The Fractured But Whole is coming to Switch in April 24th. Then they announced, of course, the big expansion for Splatoon 2, the Octo expansion. So that'll be coming out for $20 this summer. And let's see what else. WarioWare Gold. 300 microgames. Unfortunately, it's on the 3DS.
Yeah, I was really excited when I saw that announcement until I remembered it was part of the 3DS sizzle reel.
It's a direct response to multitasking. They feel the threat, and so they've got to counter it with, you know, WarioWare Gold. So
I think super multitasking should be on Switch, but I'm sure Aaron would like to sleep at some point. But anyway, I'm happy to see that they haven't forgotten WarioWare and that they're still doing a new game. And is it just a best of, or is it like they're actually putting new stuff in it too?
I couldn't really tell.
Because I got the feeling it's simply a best of, and they're not really doing new stuff for it. But if they do some new stuff, I'll be into it. I mean, again, I wish it was on the Switch, but yeah. I also understand that the Switch is missing a few gimmicky things that the 3DS had, like the microphone input and stuff. So there's some things they kind of have to do on 3DS, but I would have let those things go to have a Switch version. But okay, whatever. They had to do what they had to do with the resources they have. I guess it's better than nothing in WarioWare World.
They did show that Hyrule Warriors is coming to the Switch in May, May 18th. And then also they're going to be doing a No More Heroes Travis Strikes Again game.
I thought of you when I saw that because I was like, oh, Loki probably into that.
You know, I haven't really been too much into No More Heroes recently, but I hope that's not the new game that they were talking about, like when they were teasing it a while back. I hope this is just like a spinoff game because it didn't look... It looked all right, I guess, but not what I was hoping for.
Okay.
Then they ports. So, Kami HD coming to the Switch. They talked about the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy also.
That's kind of a big deal, though. The Crash Bandicoot thing, that's kind of a big deal because I know not everybody was around in 95, 96 when the PlayStation was really starting to take off. But Crash Bandicoot was kind of Sony's mascot for those years for a little bit. And Crash Bandicoot was kind of a real runaway game for the PlayStation. So the fact that it's going over to Switch, like, that's kind of... And I know we'll talk about it later in the show, but it's not stopping just there with the Switch. Like, it's going to show up other places too. But it's still a little surreal. It's kind of like when the Sonic game first came out on the Switch. That was a little
right,
weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I mean, on a Nintendo platform, excuse me. That was a little weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then, of course, you know, more Undertale coming to Switch. They didn't really give a release. They just said eventually. And
That's kind of neat, though. I mean, Undertale obviously has this huge... I feel like the popularity of that game's kind of dipped down a little bit, but you can't go to a convention and not see somebody make an Undertale reference. So, you know, I'm sure people will be excited to check it out on Switch.
And then Mario & Luigi's Bowser's Inside Story being remade for the 3DS, as well as Bowser Jr.'s Story.
That was the one where I really
rolled
my eyes.
Coming out for 2019, it's like,
yeah,
still?
That's a little bit of a wait on a port. Like, I was a little bit like, this one might have been a little early to talk about, and all it really says is that Nintendo's committed to the 3DS platform through 2019, which,
but
I mean...
why?
Some people are going to be really happy to hear that. I'm just ready to see them move on. I hope that port is one of the last things Nintendo's doing for the 3DS and that they're putting all their energy and effort over on the Switch at this point.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it.
All right. What'd you guys think of the Nintendo Direct? Comment over on our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf says, you know, the 3DS still has legs and is cheaper than the Switch. How much longer, though? Because it's only we all know it's going to happen where they're going to put out some type of Switch amped up version.
You know, and I missed out on that whole, they had the thing on eBay for 20% off of everything. So
what?
We could have gotten a Switch for like 20% off.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
They had, I think I saw somewhere, it was like, you get one for like $220 something for a Switch. I was like, oh man, that would have been pretty good. But I don't know.
And ActDeft in chat says, 3DS still sells a lot, a whole lot. So, I mean, you know, there's still, I guess maybe with kids, you see a lot more 3DS, maybe because the plastic's more durable. I don't know, but I don't know. I realize there's more people to game out there than just me, but I'm
like
ready to let 3DS go.
They're
come
like
on.
Competing with themselves there. I mean, you've got a portable system. You're like, well, no, don't buy the Switch. Buy this cheaper portable system. Like, no, you want to sell the Switch. What's going on?
Dungeon Buster says this needs more Octopath Traveler.
Yeah, that looked all right.
I played the demo of Octopath Traveler. I love the art style they're going for with it. So it's nice that we have a date for that because they dated that in June, right? Or it's coming up relatively soon. It's during the summer at some point. And the name is Octopath Traveler. At one point, they kind of said this is the working title. I think the project Octopath Traveler, but they have
confirmed
that's it.
Man, we need to come up with a new name. Fuck it.
I don't know why.
Let's just leave it as it is.
Yeah, why would you change the name this far along? Now everybody knows that it's this. So I mean, and it's a fine name. So just, you know,
it's the year of the Octoling.
Year of the Octo.
I would just leave it Octopath Traveler.
Year of the Octo Mom.
We'll throw in a split. I don't want to travel that path.
Go ahead to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Raginator in chat says, I suppose that there's a segment of the gaming community that has the 3DS but no Switch, so further 3DS support is great for them. Maybe they're not in a position to get a Switch. Yeah, but how much longer before the Switch starts coming down in price and getting a little more competitive and we start seeing more used Switches out in the market? Because that, I mean, if Nintendo does start this whole Switch in new colors will be the first thing, and then like an XL Switch or an amped up Switch or a new Switch or whatever it is, right? Because they've done this with the DS things. It's inevitable it's going to happen with Switch at some point. Then the old stuff's going to show up on the used market, and then I think you're going to see a lot more people that are adopting the Switch at that point. Maybe Nintendo is anticipating that in 2019. You know, I doubt they would put out a new Switch this year, but I bet they do something next year. They might do a Switch in a new color this year. That'll be the thing at E3, like a new neon green for Splatoon or something. They'll do a Switch, and then next year, oh, no, you know what it'll be? You know what it'll be? A Smash Brothers Switch console.
It'll be the Switch controllers set up like the GameCube controller.
Remember that old rumor?
Yes.
Remember there was that old rumor about the fact that those detachable controllers could be different types of controllers? You know, we've never seen... I mean, Nintendo's never really discounted that that could ever happen. That would be a very interesting turn of events for... Smash specifically, is that all of a sudden you have GameCube-style controllers that you can boop, pop in there. That'd be very interesting, wouldn't it? And something Nintendo could sell way over cost.
$80.
And make a lot of money off of. All right. Let's go ahead, and if that's all we have to say about the Nintendo Direct, which obviously I was pretty pleased with the Nintendo Direct, even without the Smash reveal at the end. I was like, okay, this is about what I would expect for a non E3 Direct. But now E3, you guys, what? Here's the thing, though. Everybody says, this must be Smash Brothers must be the tentpole. This must be the big thing for the year. Well, what does that leave Nintendo with for E3?
Prime 4.
But they've already said they're doing Prime 4. So you think there'll be no surprises? There'll be no surprises at E3.
They could show off what their online thing's going to be, I guess.
I guess that could be it. Nintendo could really, like, and maybe it's going to be one of those, y'all, online was worth the wait. And I know. Shut up.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just going to be like,
shut up.
Oh, I was wrong. I was so wrong.
Humor
no,
me,
I'm sorry,
bastard.
No.
Humor me for a minute here that maybe, you know, online. And the first game they're going to do online, F-Zero. Woo. We'll see. Anyway.
Yes, that's what... Okay. Yeah, sure.
Everybody in chat, when I say everybody, Bobby Blackwolf, F-Zero surprise. Act Deft, F-Zero surprise. Dungeon Buster, F-Zero for everyone.
Just remove... Just, yeah. Yeah, here's what... F-Zero surprise. Let me fix that for you. F, comma, zero surprise.
All right, look. I want to mention, too, actually, quickly, before we go off the topic of Nintendo Direct, because Akuma JP mentioned that he hasn't watched the Direct, but Akuma JP is in Japan, and Japan gets a different Direct. I mean, they get some of it overlaps, so they get different stuff. So it is worth mentioning that in Japan, Taiko Drum Master was confirmed as coming to the Switch.
Why doesn't that come out over here?
Well, it's the Switch is region-free, so it could. It just won't be in English, but do you need English in a game like Taiko Drum Master? Probably not.
The menus.
Also, Saga Scarlet Grace coming out on the Switch over there, but it is also happening on other systems as well. It's not going to be unique to the Switch, but it's still a pretty big deal that that's happening. The Saga game going to be happening on the Switch. And then lastly, Phantasy Star Online 2 coming to the Switch in Japan, which I thought we already knew it was coming. I think we got a release date for it in the Direct, and that's April 4th, 2018. It's Phantasy Star Online 2 Cloud, and it does come with stuff from Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild in it. But unfortunately, Sega is continuing to give the U.S. The finger when it comes to Phantasy Star Online, and we're not going to be seeing it, which sucks. Like, I want Phantasy Star Online. I mean...
You don't get Phantasy Star Online. You get Sonic Shitty Friends instead.
If the Switch is region-free, can I just download Phantasy Star Online? Or the server's not going to let me in because it's going to go, oh, you're a dumb American. You can't get in the Japanese
servers.
That's
what VPNs are for.
I, I guess. So, all right. Let's see. ActDef says, as far as Tyco goes, the PlayStation 4 one has an English option, so maybe they'll do the same for the Switch one. So, there you go.
Just release it over here. Why, if you're putting English in the game, just release that damn thing over here. Why is it such a problem?
I don't know. At least digitally.
Just
well,
digitally.
Wait,
who cares?
Wait, hold on. You have to. I'm assuming there's a peripheral that goes with it, so they can't do a digital release.
No, you can play with a controller.
Well, okay, but you can play Beatmania with a controller, but it's not as fun as it is with an actual Beatmania controller.
Fine,
you know
whatever.
What I mean?
But like the Switch version, I'm sure it's just motion controls.
Several folks in chat, including Orange Wright, lighting up with licensing J-pop might be a hassle. So it might be the music license issues, and that they don't want to pay to have that out over here. So Loki looks very irritated.
My eyes are rolling so much. Yeah, whatever.
Your logic and facts have shut him down completely.
It's dumb. Fine, whatever. We'll pull the Konami Dance Dance Revolution thing. No, you can't bring that over here. Bring it over here. No, you can't do it. Bring it over here.
Well, you could. The Switch is region free, so you could
You're
bring it over
breaking
here.
The law. Oh, I'm going to shake my finger at you and look away. All right.
Let's get into our gaming week, and we'll start with the guy with a machine that's not supposed to be sold outside Japan in his garage. Loki, how was your gaming week?
Because it wasn't sold outside of Japan. It was it was. So I've been playing Dance Dance Revolution. So I actually did. I was posting online that I was cleaning my pads and everything. So I finished cleaning the left side, which was the one that was like not really working too well, and so now it actually works really well. I was able to almost full combo songs. It's, you know, not the pad's fault that I can't full combo the song. It's because I'm out of shape. I'm not as out of shape as I was when I first started playing, but it's definitely a step up from where it was. And then the other thing that was wrong with my machine was it's got an LCD monitor in there, so the picture wasn't quite centered on the screen. It was cut off on the bottom, so I did fix that as well. It's just now I probably still need to go back and remod the pads one more time, just because the way I did it this time, I put all the foam on top of the sensors, or the brackets on top of the sensors, and I didn't put any in the corners. And it feels a little weird on there because it kind of rocks sometimes if you hit the arrow just the right way. So I need to kind of put that in the corner so it's more stable, doesn't feel like it's going to tilt a little bit. It doesn't really affect anything. It's just kind of like, it just feels funny. And then the other thing I noticed too was that apparently I didn't level my stage too well. So I was like, why does it feel like I'm tipping towards the wall? And it's because the feet on that side were too low. So I raised that back. I'm like, oh, okay, that's much better. So it's just been like tweaking stuff like that. I'm not even going to attempt to clean the right side right now because that took like 3 days to do the last time. Although that side works really well. So I'm not going to fix the problem until there is a problem. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. So I've been keeping up with it. And, you know, I've been sticking with nonstops now. So I've been doing tons of nonstops. And then I'll usually play something that I know is way too hard for me to, like, get my heart rate up. So I'll try to do a kata or something, which I'm not back to that point again where I can do those. Although I do get through A and on heavy or Oni sometimes. And I full comboed the Pop 4 nonstop the other day, so I'm getting better. It's coming back. It's been so long. So I've been playing that, and then it's been mainly mobile games because I've been actually programming during the week. Sadly, not for my game. I will get back to that, I swear. It's just I've been doing work stuff because I've been trying to get a better job, and so I'm going way outside of my job roles in trying to build a Java or build an extension for Google Chrome. And so I've been doing that. And
promotions are good, though. That's more money to buy
more
games.
More money. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to get back in that. But I haven't played mobile stuff, so I've been doing Pokemon Go a little bit because I've been in different places with Pokestops nearby. So I've been playing that quite a bit. A little bit of Ingress when I'm waiting for Pokestops to recharge again. And a little bit of that Office Space game, but like it's really irritating. That's more of like I'm not near Pokestop. I've already caught a little Pokemon around me. Crap, got to play the Office Space game now. So well, that's pretty much it.
All right, Let's see, my gaming week. It's really been a lot of the same stuff because I'm still hammering away on Final Fantasy 14, my big MMO addiction. My Red Mage finally hit 70. That's a class I've really been enjoying playing, so I finally hit 70 on that this week. So that's pretty cool, and it feels nice because you can start buying all the really big gear, and it's like this big jump from level 69 to 70. So that's cool. Been still playing Heroes of the Storm. In fact, I was playing a little bit of that after OLR last week, and that was a lot of fun. Doing some Heroes of the Storm, and just been continuing on that game. Just trying to level my character slowly. I made sure to get all the stuff from the Lunar Fest, and now I got 10,000 gold. I don't think I bought another character yet with it, so I have to figure out which character I want to get next. So there is that. I need to get back to Overwatch because Alan and I were talking a little bit about Overwatch today, and he reminded me they did some changes to Sombra, and that was one of my favorite characters in the game. But people don't really like it when you play Sombra because I guess people don't see that she's effective, but I really like playing her. So if they've done some changes, I really want to get in there and see what that's all about. And I need to try Brigitte on the test realm as well, the new character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she looks pretty cool.
Well, she's more, isn't she just like Torbjorn?
She's like Torbjorn and Reinhardt had a kid. Like, yeah, but except they didn't, but they did. So anyway, I'm curious to check that out for sure. And then I played a lot of Pokemon Go yesterday, a lot, because we have the double XP thing going on right now.
How long is that going on for?
Till the 15th, I think. So it's only a few more days, but it's been a long event, I mean, all things considered. But you know, it was one of those things, it was just a perfect storm of events where I didn't really have a lot going on yesterday. I didn't have a lot to do. So, you know, Shane and I were talking, and we had talked about going down to the Capitol maybe to play a lot of Pokemon Go. But then, you know, long story short, we were like, why don't we just go to San Francisco? Why don't we just go to Pier 39 and get all the stuff that shows up there and just walk and get the stops in the gyms that are in San Francisco? Let's do that. So we did. We went to San Francisco yesterday and walked around for a significant amount of time. And what's really funny is that I ran into Dark Sakura yesterday. Before she started feeling ill, I ran into her yesterday at Japantown, like totally out of the blue. We didn't plan a meetup. I knew she was going to be there in the city because there's a big drag queen show going on at the Castro, and you know she goes to those because my buddy JD was there too, and I couldn't meet up with him either because of the drag queens getting in the way. But I didn't have tickets to that show, and I didn't, you know, it just wasn't on my radar of stuff to do. So, but it was really funny that we met up anyway with Jamie, like unplanned at Japantown, and Shane and I were walking to the arcade there, and they Dark Sakura and her friend Becky were walking from one of the stores there, and Jamie with her hair is like bright pink now, he can't miss her. So I was like, of course I run into you guys here, of course I do. So that was pretty funny, and I caught a lot of Pokemon and got a lot of stops and gyms in San Francisco and walked a lot of eggs. I've hatched so many fucking Swablus.
I need more of those. 400? What the hell do I need 400?
I've already evolved one, and I'm halfway to another. They're herpes. They're everywhere. They're in every 2K egg right now. I don't think I've hatched a 2K egg yet that didn't have a Swablu in it during this event. Crazy. So, all right. Let's see. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says, I need more Swablu too. This is this event with the bonus to air Pokemon or whatever it is huge on Swablu. Like, there's so many Swablu in 2Ks. And that's good too, because you're more likely to get a Wonder Swablu so that when you evolve it, you know, you'll have a Wonder. But here's the other thing. They're not very good. Like, they're not worth the four. It's not like a Gyarados. Like, you're going to spend the 400 candies to evolve it and then be like, oh, it's like Wailmer. Like, Wailord looks cool. Like, it's hilarious when you put Wailord in a gym. But Wailord isn't really that great of an attacker or defender. And it's kind of the same thing with Swablu's evolution. So, yeah, that's the bummer about it. But, of course, I know how it is, y'all. You got to catch them all. It's in the subtitle of the game. You got to catch them all, and you got to fill out that Pokédex. Thankfully for Alan, we just went on a raid today, and we actually did two raids today. He finally got his Rayquaza today, so he can relax with his Pokédex being full. That was actually a really funny story, because we were out doing Ingress stuff today. One of the gals that you heard here a couple months ago, she put together one of those really fun Let's Cover the City events, right? So I went out and did that today, and I was doing my part in that, and then, you know, it was about 30 minutes out, and I drove home. And as I'm pulling up the park, I see a gal parked next to what I know is the Pokemon gym. And I look in the car and I'm like, I know her. She's at every raid that happens around here. So I actually rolled down my window. She recognized me. I rolled down my window. I'm like, is there a Pokemon raid going? She's like, yeah, they're all coming over right now. We just did one over at Bleep Bleep Bleep, the other gym that's not far from here. And we're going to do the one here. And I'm like, cool. So I just parked and walked over to the gym. And I got to do that Pokemon raid. And then I guess they were doing like, this is a thing now during the double XP. Because if you pop an egg, you get quadruple XP. So you get 40K from a raid right now. So they did one over yonder. I don't want to say it on air because I don't want to give away where I live. But over like yonder, they did one. They came to the park and they did one. Then they went to the other park.
So do you have to get like invited to those? Because I saw one the other day. Like I was going to spin. Like one of the things is, oh, sorry, this gym is closed for a raid or something. Like, well, how do I join that? Or
You might have just walked up on it during a Mewtwo raid. Those you have to be invited to. And I'm a little salty. I have never been invited to a fucking EX raid in Pokemon Go. And I try to do the raids pretty regularly. I don't go out of my way to go all the way to the fucking mall to go to the mall over here that has the Sprint store. That's what it is. The Sprint store is a gym, and that's the one that everybody goes to raid to get. But I'm not going to go all the way over there just to get a chance that maybe I'll get to go back on Saturday. You know what's going to happen to me, though, Loki? I'm going to tell you right now what's going to happen. I'm going to get an EX pass for next Saturday, but what's the punchline?
You're going to be out of town.
No, I'm going to get a pass. Close. That would be the other one, is that I'll get a pass for next Saturday when I'm going to be out of town. But I'm going to get a pass for this Saturday in San Francisco. Watch. Because I did some raids there. I bet you anything, I get a pass that's going to make me go back to Pier 39. But the good news is, at least I know there will be a group to do it, because there is nothing but spoofers in that. In Fisherman's Wharf, it is nothing but fucking spoofers. Well, I shouldn't say that. We did the Rayquaza raid at this place called The Room Blue Jeans, is what it's called, because they still have a poster for The Room. You know that movie, the Citizen Kane of bad movies? I did a hosting of it here in SAC not that long ago. They still have a poster of The Room up in San Francisco because the movie's set there. So that happens to be a Pokemon gym, right? So we get there, and we get there right as it starts. And so we go in the gym right as it starts, and we just know, we don't even need to wait for other people. Watch what's going to happen. And sure enough, fills up to 20 people like that. And we look around. We see two other guys on their phone playing Pokemon Go. One other guy that might be playing Pokemon Go, but he also might be getting a lift. And that's it. So at most, of the 20 people that were in that raid, 5 of them were legitimate. So that's the state of Pokemon Go right now. But at least that Rayquaza melted, so that was kind of cool, I guess. Oh. All right, anyway. ActDeft in chat says, I have 3 Rayquazas. I still only have 1. I have the worst time throwing the fucking ball at those Rayquazas. Like, I'm lucky if I connect twice. And I just, by some miracle of God, the first Rayquaza raid I did, the second ball I threw, I managed to catch it. And I was like, thank God, done. And it was even a wonder. It was a wonder Rayquaza. So good enough. Like, sure, I'd love to get 100% Rayquaza. But you know what? Good enough. I'm going to settle for a C.
So how do you know if they're a wonder or not?
You do the appraisal. You're Mystic, right?
Yeah.
You do the appraisal, and she'll say, this Pokemon is a wonder. Valor and Instinct, they say different things, but they're just, it's whatever the best sounding expression is that they say.
Got it.
Is the highest IV. It's between, I think, is it 80% above or 85% above? It might be 80. I think it's 80% above. But honestly, like, I don't think the IVs matter that much for what the game is. But I feel like for PvP, a lot of people are concerned that maybe it is going to matter a lot more in PvP. So we'll see. All right.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase curve.
Anyway, let's move on. I talked more than enough about Pokemon Go. Let's move on into some actual gaming news. I would say some announcements, though, real quick. We will not be here in 2 weeks. I'm going to be out of town in 2 weeks, so there's no show March 25th. Unfortunately, we're also not going to be here April 1st, and that is not an April Fool's Day joke. April Fool's Day is also Easter this year, and Loki has family obligations, and Darksakura has obligations with her charity group that she works with. So we won't be here live either of those two nights. However, we don't want to miss 2 shows in a row, so we are making plans to try to tape something at some point. So we'll at least have a new show on April 1st. It just won't be live. So sorry to our live folks, but...
We should tape a Ready Player One special show.
Maybe anything. We can go on a group date, see the movie, and then do
a
chat about it. Whatever else happened in the news, I'm down with that. Sure.
Yes, we should.
It'll be great too if Jamie and I like fucking hate the movie.
It's a Spielberg movie. What's the hate?
I don't like all his movies. Some of them are not that great.
Yeah, whatever.
But the ones I don't like are the ones that everybody kind of like the big award winners and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I think Spielberg's overrated. But at the same time, like, I love Hook, but that's the one everybody hates. So if the
all the critics hate it.
Yeah. If the critics hate it, I'll love it. If the critics love it, I'll hate it.
I think people already hate it because, I don't know, that because people are haters. I'm really excited about it. I want to see it. And
I know
and
you
I've already spoiled it for myself by reading the leaked script, so I already know what kind of happens. But
it's based on a book, right?
It doesn't follow the book.
Oh.
It doesn't follow the book exactly. It sort of follows the book, but the challenges that are in it are different from the book. So,
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I'm tired of the hype. Where are you seeing it? Because I'm not – maybe it's just because I don't watch enough TV or whatever, but I feel like I'm not really seeing a lot of it.
There's some trailers, but like, I don't know. It looks good. I want to see
all
it.
Right, right. I'm sure we'll see.
I'm seeing it opening day.
Why sure. wouldn't I see it? I don't know. All right. Let's get into some gaming news. Let's not oversaturate it anymore for Bobby. Let's go right into news. Yes, Loki.
Let's talk about Fortnite. So Fortnite is coming to mobile platforms, and they're also going to allow you to actually play with, you know, it's going to basically be very similar to the game that's on consoles and PC right now. With the whole, they're going to support like cross play. So you're going to be able to, and cross progression. So you'll be able to, between the PlayStation 4, PC, Mac, iOS, and Android, you'll be able to sync that. This is kind of strange where it's, you know, syncing with Sony and not Microsoft. Usually Sony's the one that's like, no, we can't do that. But you'll be able to sync your progress across those. And of course, you know, I guess they're going to start rolling it out on Monday. And you can sign up. And I guess Android will be coming in the next few months. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Mobile, though?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Mobile? Those are going to be the easiest targets. I just can't imagine. Keyboard and mouse versus mobile. Am I understanding this right?
Well, you could do, you know, a controller or something like that. You know, you could sync something to it. But, yeah, I don't know if I'd want to play Fortnite. Well, then also, like, you know, Fortnite, like, I hope no one's planning on playing, like, on a mobile network because that's going to be even worse. I don't know.
I mean, I get that Androids and iPhones are really powerful little computers in your pocket, and we sometimes forget like just how meaty those chips are that are in them and stuff. I mean, they are pretty impressive pieces of technology, but mobile, like touch controls, it's going to be – you're right. You have to hook up like a Bluetooth, but you know, your choices are so limited over on – like there's no official Apple controller type of thing. You know, I'm sure. I know there's a ton of stuff on Google, but it's just
not even really with Android either. I mean, it's more of like there's some support for certain things. Mm-hmm. You can, I think, on Android, you can sync also like a PlayStation 4 controller and stuff. But I don't know if you have to have that rooted to, you know, fully support that. I know the one I have is pretty nice. It's like an Xbox 360 controller, but it's, you know, and that supports you.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Yeah, mobile. I know. If I had the choice, I'll just wait and I'll play it at home. Yeah.
Now, the console and PC, that's exciting. You know, that's very cool. A lot of people wish Overwatch would do that, but I understand.
But, I mean, you would think that if it's supported mobile, then maybe you could get it to run on the Switch.
Nothing official yet.
You know, I mean, I would think that would be a better option than mobile.
SSJ100 Matt in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says Fortnite wants to go the Microsoft route, get it on every possible platform while it's still hot. Oh, I'm sure. You know, a lot of this has to do, and the fact that Sony kind of, you know, caved on some of their cross-platform stuff, it just has to do with how big Fortnite is right now. And I would imagine Microsoft is left out a little bit because they've invested all their stuff in PUBG, right? Might have something to do with it. Maybe. We'll see.
So is like the Fortnite vanilla game still a thing? Because I remember that was going to be like a zombie survival game. And
I believe it's still there.
Did they just say, fuck that, let's do the Battle Royale
no,
thing? Because that's where
I'm
they get tons of money on
I'm
that?
I'm pretty sure Fortnite single player is still a thing. It's just that's not what people are really talking about. It's just like, you know, in Overwatch, you can play against AI. But nobody ever
and
talks
I do.
About that. All right. Anyway, so how many of y'all checked out the Chrono Trigger release on PC recently?
No, thanks. I read the reviews.
So yeah. Speaking of mobile stuff going to PC, yeah. In fact, the game is mostly negative on Steam right now. 39% is where it was sitting at earlier this week. So Square Enix actually went to the Steam news page to say, hi, everyone. Thank you for the feedback you've shared so far regarding Chrono Trigger. We wanted to let you know that we are reading and listening to your messages and are aware of all the issues you've raised, which we're currently assessing. Please keep an eye on the Steam page for further information. Thanks for your patience and support, the Chrono Trigger team. Now, here's the thing. What are they going to be able to fix? They ported the mobile game. I mean, are they going to have to go back and just basically change the mobile game to fix some of these issues, which include, by the way, crappy controller stuff because it's adapted from a touchscreen thing, so the controller doesn't do what you think it would do. Some of the horrible RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1 filter that's applied to the sprite artwork. If you don't know what I'm talking about, imagine you smeared Vaseline all over the lens. That's what the game looks like. So, yeah, it's just... it's not great. And so what are they going to do, though?
It's a company cutting corners... because they thought, oh, Chrono Trigger, people are going to want it. And they cut corners.
Well, by saying cut corners, it was, we released the mobile ports of Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6, and they did pretty well. So put Chrono Trigger in the queue. Let's do that one, too. That's what they did.
Well.
But here's the interesting thing. Modders have now entered the picture. Uh-oh, now, here's why they waited a while to put it on PC, because now... you know, what do we say? Hacker's going to hack, and right along with that, modder's going to mod, right? So, apparently, some of the things that they have been doing with the game is the modders have jumped in, and let's see. There's a tool called Final Fantasy VI Explorer, and that was used on the Final Fantasy VI port that was kind of eh. And Final Fantasy VI Explorer let other modders dig in the files, understand what's going on, and replace sprites and other assets to make things look better. And sure enough, went in there. There's an update now to CT Explorer with modding capability, and that was all announced on this guy's Twitter. That's my trunks, is the tweet. And already people are going in there with the CT tool and fixing up some of the sprites and things like that. So, yeah, if modders are getting in there and already working, and you can see some of their results all around the internet. There's also Steam forum threads on that, and so on and so on. So, kind of unsurprised that that's happening. S200 Matt in chat says, hackers going to fix the game. Akuma JP says, Chrono Trigger porn. Anything is possible. I'm sure you
can... where are we on the porn for Final Fantasy 15? Or, like, you know, the... I'm sure they've got nude mods and shit already.
Oh, for the PC release?
Yes.
I don't know. I haven't heard about nude mods for Final Fantasy 15.
I mean, it's only been a couple days, but...
long
it's
enough.
It's been a couple days. I mean, come on. I expect that stuff immediately. But I would just assume that, you know, that they do have that already.
Let's see. I'm looking and I'm getting a lot of hits. So I Googled nude mods Final Fantasy 15, and we're getting a lot of hits on the article that talked about
please no nude mods. Yeah.
That would be up to the player base. Like the creators of the game were like, that's what you want to do. It's out of our control, right?
No.
Basically. And then one of the big hits here from the Steam community, nude Cindy mod, please. Of course, right?
Of course.
But then there's a link here. I think that's just that same news story. So maybe the smart...
maybe not yet.
Yeah, the smart thing about commenting on the news story is that all the game blogs ran that news story. So when you search for Final Fantasy 15 nude mod, you get that news story. So it makes it harder to find the actual nude mod. But I'm sure that will be a thing that happens at some point. All right. Slidekick in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Hi, Slidekick. Says, surprising that Loki is asking about Final Fantasy 15 nude mods, but bless. Except he probably only cares about nude Cindy, not nude Gladio. Look, here's the thing. Knowing Loki as long as I have, Loki just knows it's going to happen. Like, Loki
doesn't... This is a matter... It's not necessarily...
Loki doesn't have, like, a vested interest in this.
No, it's not that. It's like a... What do we call it?
This is something he's going to show the wife. They're going to laugh at and then move on.
Oh, the wife doesn't care. Like, I was going to like, hey, I'm going to show you some mod on a game. She's like, I'm already tuning you out. You said game.
You guys used to do this years ago. I
show you.
Back when we lived together, you would show her hilarious stuff and she'd laugh at it. So
and she doesn't
and she'd be like,
care.
Video games are so stupid. You guys are stupid. And you do that stupid show.
Still doing that show? Why aren't you still doing that show?
Is that show still not making you money?
It's a hobby. If you're not making That's money, right. It's a hobby. Hobby. It's not a job.
It's a hobby. And we wouldn't have met any of these fine people out here on the internet if it wasn't
I don't
for
see
hobby.
Anything on ModDB, so I'm assuming.
All right. No nude mod yet. Slidekick, it's just, it's up to you to make it. Get to
because
work.
Eventually it's going to be like, okay, this work. Mod turns the Cactuar into like a multifaceted dick monster that, you know, and oh, it's just.
That's not the same thing.
And then dick we got to get Macho Man Randy Savage in there somewhere, you know. That's the kind of. I want to play.
That's the shit that's going to make
I want to play my Final Fantasy 15 like I play my Skyrim. Macho Man Randy Savage, boobs everywhere. And, like, the fucking dubstep gun. That is how I want to play my game.
That's going to be the shit that finally convinces me to get Final Fantasy 15 on PC, even though I've been resisting, like, no, Rob, the game was mediocre. Do not buy it again. When you talk about, like, Macho Man Randy Savage, boobs are funny, whatever. Like, sure, put boobs
in it. They've
turned
their car into Thomas the Tank Engine.
It's- yeah, sure, and Macho Man Randy Savage. Oh, yeah. Like, why not? Do all of it, and I'm there. I'm sold. Sure. All right. And you know what else would be really funny? Okay. So you know how Ignis cooks after every meal? What Ignis should be cooking is the remains of the creatures that they've killed. So I want to see an Ignis cooking mod where he's making like, and tonight we dine on roasted chocobo, you know, so.
We've cooked the Macho Man Randy Savage and we've gotten Slim Jims.
Bobby Blackwolf says Ignis is cooking the last fucks that he had to give. Correct.
He's cooking some meth.
Ignis is cooking chapter 13. Oh, I like that idea too. Final Fantasy 15, My Little Drug Lab. All right. Please, a new story, Loki.
All right, let's talk about Call of Duty. So Call of Duty is not going back to World War II again. It's going back to the future, I think. So it's Black Ops 4 is going to be the official game coming out this year. Somewhere I miss Black Ops 3. I know it exists, but I never played it. And I'm trying to think back in my head why I didn't play it. Because I like Black Ops 2. And I know Infinity Warfare looked kind of ridiculous and stupid. But I just don't remember playing Black Ops 3. But I may have to check this out. Anyway, so they're going to have a reveal event for the community on May 17th. The global launch of the game is kind of surprising. Usually that's going to be a game that they release in November. This year, though, releasing in October, on October 12th, for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
That doesn't seem that early. It's still the right season.
Considering all the launches for past Call of Duty games, it's definitely a deviation.
All right. Fair enough.
So they didn't really say what it's about, but I just hope it's not stupid. Please don't be stupid.
If they're not making the Call of Duty, because they're not putting this on Switch, right? They haven't talked about this yet?
No, they're not putting it on Switch.
They're not putting it on Switch. Well, I guess something that is coming to Switch is Game Maker Studio 2 is going to be coming out for the Nintendo Switch. And this is a program that they use to make a lot of different 2D games. In fact, I think Undertale was made in this game, in this engine.
Well, there was...
I could be wrong.
What was the other? There's Spelunky was Game Maker. As well.
Was it?
Yeah, that was a pretty good game. There's been a lot of really good games that have come out for Game Maker, but I don't know. So, like, for example, yeah, so they've got it coming to the Switch.
They They do. And let's see. Oh, here we go. Other games. Hotline Miami was built on that tool as well. Yeah. Do you know that? Anyway, but the cool thing is that it is coming out, Game Maker 2, and you're going to be able to, I guess, export your stuff to the Switch. And it's going to be launching this summer. Yo-Yo Games, James Cox said, Nintendo has been hugely supportive of bringing independent releases to the Nintendo Switch console, and this partnership will mean even more wonderful games are released on the platform. So that's going to be pretty cool.
It is cool. Anything that makes it easier for people to put their games on consoles. I mean, back when I was little and like, oh man, it'd be so amazing to be able to publish a game on a console and be able to play that game stuff. Now it's actually much easier to do that than it used to be.
And to be clear, it's not that Game Maker, the program, is on the Switch because you have to, you know, write code and things the Switch doesn't do. But they're coming out with like a version of Game Maker that is for exporting to the Switch.
Well, it's a plugin that they have for Game Maker that exports the different platforms. So right now they've got, you know, you can do mobile platforms, you can do, you know, the PC, you can do some consoles as well. Now they're having the Switch as one of the options. It's kind of like how Unity has those, where you build for a certain target platform.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Game Maker is great for 2D games. It's preferable to Unity in that sense. If I'm not mistaken, aren't your 2D games in Unity like basically faked 3D, if I remember right?
It's changed a lot. So they have like a big focus on 2D stuff now, too.
Okay.
It's hard to keep up with everything. Like, recently, they've even added more stuff to Unity to make it seems like a little bit more like Unreal, where they bought the rights to I can't remember the program. I have it, the plugin too, but it's basically to build 3D models within Unity, so you can build out a map in Unity in the editor without having to go build the model and import it and all that stuff. So they've got that, but yeah, it is, you know, definitely pretty strong for 2D games. That's what it's been used for. I don't know about Game Maker making 3D games, but worth checking out, and especially if you catch it. Every now and then they put Humble Bundles out there with, you know, Game Maker in there.
Yeah, they do, and I missed the last one.
I tend to grab it, even though I don't use it. I'm like, well,
someday
I might decide I want to use it, want the keys, so I've got the keys. I think I have Game Maker 1, though, where the last one was, so I don't know.
Bobby is emphasizing in chat, Game Maker doesn't do 3D games. It specializes as 2D, and that's why people tend to float to that for 2D, although, heck, there's still people making games in Commodore 64 Basic. So people are going to program whatever they want. That's right. Do whatever works for you. People are still making Atari 2600 games all these years later. Why not? Loki, what do you have?
So, speaking of more games coming to the Switch and other platforms, Crash Bandicoot Trilogy, we mentioned what's coming to the Switch, but not only that, it's not just now going to be exclusive to two platforms, but it's also coming out on Xbox One and PC as well. So that exclusivity for PlayStation 4 is done, and they're going to be coming, I guess, to those platforms on July 10th.
I'm sorry, but Crash Bandicoot on the Xbox, that's like as big to me as Sonic on a Nintendo platform. Like, I realize that Sony didn't make Crash Bandicoot, but it's just like, you know, in my childhood, you really associated Crash Bandicoot with Sony.
They've had Xbox Crash games, I thought.
Did they?
Yeah, I remember selling some on the Xbox 360. I know they had the Crash Tag Team Racing was one.
Oh,
and then they've also had, I thought that they had another one too that was like Xbox or Xbox 360.
Okay, so they just weren't good games. That's why I forgot them.
Yeah, they're more. That was back when everyone wanted to make a kart racing game, you know, like Sonic was doing it, you know, Sony was doing it. Everyone's got to steal Nintendo's thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Sony. Give the Fighter All-Stars thing another shot. It wasn't that terrible. We got the BioShock guy in there. I would love to see that again, but like more Battle Royale games or more fighting games like that.
Well, maybe a PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale game could be a launch title for the PlayStation 5. That's right. I'm going to talk about the PlayStation 5, y'all.
Oh, boy.
All right. Here we go. Here's what's happening. I can already hear Bobby's eyes rolling to the back of his head and taking a big, deep sigh as we explore what's happening in PlayStation 5. But here's the real deal. obviously PlayStation 5 is under development.
It's, are you saying that the PlayStation 4 Pro is not doing amazingly well?
I don't. It's not even that, Loki. The PlayStation 5 was in development the day they released the PlayStation 4, if not sooner. That's how far out these things have to be planned. And we know that, you know, let's say they are planning on releasing a PlayStation 5 in, and I'm sorry if you guys just heard my Google chat go off. Like, the one time I freaking leave that open, we get messages. Sorry, that was me. Anyway, where was I? Dang it. And that derailed what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, PlayStation 5. So these launch games for PlayStation 5, assuming they run 4K and assuming they are, like, really smooth, you know, running and all that, and that these are things we're going to expect out of PlayStation 5, these studios are going to need years to develop a game for this system. So it would not be surprising that even if they are not planning to release PlayStation 5 until 2020, that we start hearing this news, and that's what we have tonight, that PlayStation 5 dev kits have been sent to some third-party studios. This rumor coming from Marcus Sellers over on Twitter. And you might just think, well, why should I trust some rando guy on Twitter? Well, this same rando guy also said that Black Ops 4 would be this year's Call of Duty, and that was turned out to be
true.
That's
just a guess.
And the correct date of the Nintendo Direct before it was announced. This guy has also said that Nintendo Switch Diablo 3 port is happening. We didn't see that in the Direct, but, I mean, it hasn't really been denied either, totally. So we'll see. I would say if that wasn't announced still at E3, then it's not happening, but we'll see. Anyway, so take it with a grain of salt. That was the tweet made saying, basically, PlayStation 5 dev kits went out early this year to third-party developers. But honestly, like, why wouldn't I believe that? That doesn't mean they're announcing the PlayStation 5 at E3. It just means it's time to start thinking about 2020. And I would think 20...
But I thought they were on a 10-year cycle. What happened to that?
Yeah, but the PlayStation 3's on a 10-year cycle as well, but that doesn't mean the PlayStation 4 wasn't already out for the last few years. Right?
Whatever.
Okay, so the PlayStation 4 came out 2013, right? That's when the PlayStation 4 came out, 2013. PlayStation 3 was out 2006. So that was 7 years between PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. So 2020 would be 7 years from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5.
But it's only been 1 year since PlayStation 4 Pro. Actually, not even 1 year.
Well.
6 months.
Well, I'm not really... the PlayStation 4 Pro
is... Well, I guess this goes back to we're just going to iterate and going to release a new console every year or some bullshit or... But, like, at this point, like, I get it. I get it that, you know, you want a more powerful console, but...
Guess what? Microsoft is doing the same
right,
thing.
Right.
It's not even
Microsoft's
Xbox One
same,
X.
But I feel we're getting to the point of diminished returns here. It's like, how much better are we going to... What exactly improvements are we going to see? I mean, smoother gameplay and 4K visuals natively or, well, hopefully this time, but, like... It's going to get to a point where we can't, you know, it's not going to be worth it,
I guess. I would say things that are going to help the developers make their games, like consoles that help out developers and aren't as challenging to develop for. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you guys, if we're going to have, like, artists making 4K assets for all these games are going to take even fucking longer to finish. So if we don't, you know, have a system that kind of helps developers in getting done what they need to do, like... You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's the thing we need most out of a PlayStation 5. I know that sounds really weird, but I mean, you're going to be looking at games that are on like 5 and 6 year development cycles if we don't have some of those things figured out.
Not necessarily. That's only if you really want to push it to that kind of quality. But
I guess
not every game has to be that quality to be a success. That's my point is like, I get it. You want to push the hardware so they can do more, make prettier games and stuff. But does a prettier game necessarily make it a better game? Not really. Not necessarily. So, I don't know. I think you need to focus more on, like, we need to make games better. How can we make games better? Could it be that they're more immersive? Could we find, like, a new method, like... What's our next step towards the holodeck is really what
yes.
we should be saying. It's
yes.
like, what's our next step towards the holodeck? What can we add to the experience to make games more immersive? Because, like, if you argue it, look at, like, the PlayStation VR or even, like, any VR platform. it's not necessarily that the graphics are better, but it's a more immersive experience, which makes it seem better than some of the other games that are out there because it's different. It's more, it get puts you more inside it. And yes, having more powerful hardware to push those visuals for VR or something like that would help as well. But I just think we're getting to a point now where, it, like, even like the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 4 Pro, it's like if I was going to play it on PlayStation VR, it's a slight visual improvement. Or we have slightly better textures. This one runs in 4K, but if I have a 4K TV, it's slightly crisper. At some point, it's just not going to matter.
Maybe they're just going to finally make a game console that'll fuck you. Like, maybe.
Japan's working on it.
Maybe that's the true end game. I know we keep saying the end game is the holodeck, but in some ways I feel like the true end game in video games is a console that'll fuck you and no one else will. Like, am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
On that note, let's go back to a classic time in video game history with the classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault. Back in a simpler time where gaming consoles, they didn't fuck you. They didn't even buy you a drink.
Well, game consoles definitely nowadays, the console games do fuck you as far as like the content that they give you for the money that you pay, but not necessarily in a way that's pleasurable.
Anyway, Dark Sakura ain't here, and if she was, we'd probably have to behave ourselves, and that's why the show's completely derailed tonight. But anyway, it's the classic game of the week. Now, usually when Dark Sakura isn't here, I take over and pick a game, but I was thinking, you went, no, I shouldn't do it all the time. Loki needs to get some picks in here, too. So it's Loki's turn to take over and pick the classic game of the week. Loki, what did you pick out of the gaming vault for the classic game of the week?
Breaking all the rules, we're going to do Halo 2, 3, and 4. No, actually, we're doing Saints Row.
You really want to get fucked. That's one way to do it, because you'll be dead next episode. Oh, it's Saints Row.
Saints Row.
Saints Row is the classic game of the
Saints
week.
Saints Row.
Yeah.
So Saints Row was a game that was going to basically revolutionize. It's going to be the Grand Theft Auto killer. Grand Theft Auto killer. So it was a game that was developed for the PlayStation 2 originally under the title Bling Bling. Thank God they changed that name. Began work in mid-2003, and then, of course, you know, with the new consoles coming out and stuff, eventually it came out for the Xbox 360 in 2006.
And just so you know, I do have game audio running in the background, but there's not really a lot of music, and I'm just waiting for abrupt machine gun fire to interrupt this, so just bear with us here with the audio.
Oh, yes, it's inevitable. So Saints Row, you played the role of the player, or basically this brand new inductee to the Third Street Saints, who are a fictional gang in a fictional city of Stillwater. And basically, it's about you becoming integrated in this gang and trying to take over the rest of Stillwater, which is owned by three other gangs that are in there as well. So you have the three syndicates, the Vice Kings, who are basically getting their money from strip clubs and record labels, the Los Carnales, who are a drug cartel, and the West Side Rollers, who had basically an underground racing club. So with that, of course, you're joined by some other lieutenants that are part of the Saints. So you have Johnny Gat, Dex, and Lynn. So as you're playing out through the game, you meet up with other characters and start, you know, taking over the city. Come to find out, of course, spoilers, Julius, who is played by Keith David, ends up betraying you in the end, and you get killed.
What?
Yes.
Spoilers?
Allegedly, you get killed, but you come back in the second game, so it's
what,
fine.
Spoilers for the second game?
It's fine. Well, obviously,
these
back.
Games are 10 years old.
No, but it was a great game. So, like, it wasn't revolutionary in the way that it was going to beat out San Andreas or any of the Grand Theft Auto games, but what I really liked about the game was that it was kind of a little more over the top than, say, like a normal Grand Theft Auto game, whereas most of the Grand Theft Auto games were kind of sort of focusing in reality, but, you know, they did a little bit of over the top stuff, like, you know, the jetpack and whatnot. Where Saints Row, they had a lot of different activities were kind of over the top. This one was a little bit more grounded than, say, like Saints Row the Third, which just kind of went crazy. But this one you had, they kind of introduced some of the mini games in there with, like, they had insurance fraud, which basically you had to challenge yourself in getting basically the most damage to the player as possible. So running out in the middle of traffic, throwing yourself off bridges, you know, anything to rack up a big insurance bill, which is kind of fun. Hi, cat. He's like, like patting me on the, like,
oh, Mr. Smush might want to come sit on your lap.
He's all pet me.
Yeah, Mr. Smush might be trying to come sit on your lap.
So then, you know, you have that. There's, you know, other missions like drug trafficking. They had, you know, where you can drop off, you know, prostitutes and stuff. Just lots of ridiculous things. Of course, also lots of download content in the game as far as costumes and whatnot. And the first game I actually did play multiplayer because it was like, you know, Grand Theft Auto game, but it also had multiplayer built into it as well. So we used to play some of the death matches in there. They also had a mode called Blinged Out Rides where you had to basically bling your car out by getting more money and stuff. But it was a fun game. And I remember that they had a 30-minute demo that came out for the Xbox 360, and I would play the crap out of that, and I found a way to get out of bounds in that game, and that was fun. Some other fun stuff. They had a soundtrack of about 130 musical tracks, including the classical channel, which is great, especially playing that. Of course, you know, drum and beat, metal, reggae, R&B, all that stuff, across 12 stations. Let's see what else they had fun stuff about this. I used to love putting in the codes in the game to get the cars to chase you down. They had lots of little cheat codes back when cheat codes, you didn't have to buy them. So that was fun. And of course, it spawned a few additional sequels. So you had Saints Row 2 that actually came out on both Xbox 360 and PC and PlayStation 3. So that was pretty awesome. And then, of course, Saints Row the Third, which came out on all three platforms as well. Eventually got remastered for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And, of course, Saints Row 4, which is just ridiculous. And, yeah, hopefully they'll have a new Saints Row game. Of course, you know, Get Out of Hell was another one as well. But, yeah, definitely worth checking out if you have an Xbox 360. It's old. I mean, it's sort of dated looking, but it was fun.
All right, your classic game of the week, the original Saints Row before it went over the top.
Yes.
And crazy. But that didn't make it. It was still, you know, it was a decent.
It was a good game. Yeah. I liked it. It was a good game.
It was the start of something.
And the story was actually not bad. Like, one of the things, like, you know, some of the later games, I feel that the best balance in story.
Oh, okay. For those that just, fucking asshole. So the cat just knocked over the trash completely. I got to go take care of that, Loki.
He jumped in the trash can.
Fuck, he jumped in the trash can?
He tried to jump in the trash can.
Fucking idiot. Hold on.
So, like, you know, I think the best balance in the Saints Row games were probably Saints Row 2, where it was kind of, they had, you know, three different gangs that basically, because you had died in the first game, but you didn't really die. You were just in a coma, and so you were in prison, and then you get broken out of prison. And, you know, come back to kind of reclaim Stillwater, which has been taken over by three other gangs. And but the way that you take care of those gangs is really fucked up in, like, just some of the stuff you do to get revenge. So that's why I think that one had, like, a great balance between crazy and realistic. Plus, they had a lot of mini games in there that were just, you know, off the wall crazy. And they actually, what I liked about those games, and the first one included, was that they kind of gave you context to the minigames. They said, okay, here's why you're doing this minigame, and here's what the purpose is of it. Not just, here's a minigame you're doing to get money. You know, and if you do this, you get money. And that's it. Like some of the further games do that, 3 and 4. So I like the context being in there and just instead of recycling this stuff over and over.
All right, thank you for buying me time, Loki. Looking in chat at live.vognetwork.com, Tiger Claw in chat says, maybe Mr. Smush is trying to tell you something. What, throw this episode in the trash? Is that what you're saying, Tiger Claw? Why don't you say it to my face? Bobby Blackwell says, my cat likes to knock over the trash can, too, because she wants to see what's in it. Luckily, nothing, because Alan had just taken the trash out before he left, so that's the good news. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, Mr. Smush is trying to say the Saints Row series was trash until Saints Row 3, when it became really awesome. SJ 100 Matt says, Mr. Smush said, fuck your show and fuck this trash. I'm hungry and want rubs. So,
well, and it's funny. Like, I'm sitting there and like, all of a sudden I feel this paw on my, he's like, hello. Yeah.
That's what he does before jumping up there. So you dodged one there. And then Azette in chat says, cats are assholes. I don't know why you're surprised. I'm not surprised, but does he have to do that now? Of course he does.
Yes.
Of course he does. All right. We're going to take a quick break while I discipline Mr. Smush. We'll be right back after this quick break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight, episode number 722, already in progress for this March 11th of 2018. By this time next week, St. Patrick's Day will have already passed. I don't know. That was a really big deal when you were like 21 years old, but now it's like, you know.
My kids are very excited about it.
Yeah? Well, do they get to like eat cookies and stuff? Like, what? How do kids celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Usually, what happens is
wearing green, pinching their friends.
No, the nonsense that they do, at least in the preschool, is they will go out to recess or whatever and play outside, and one of the teachers will come inside and trash the place, and they'll leave like green glitter everywhere, mm-hmm. and be like, "Oh, the leprechaun came in and did all this."
Oh, that's cute. I like that. Okay.
Or they'll hide like gold or something.
Or
like,
they'll get the
rocks.
Kids drunk.
They'll get them drunk.
They'll give the kids NyQuil, and, oh, nap time's going to be three times as long, so, you know, Miss Teacher can take a nap. All right, anyway. Something I wanted to talk about before we get into rapid fire news. This is more of a, like, kind of one of those things video game related that went viral, is that I guess Google Maps did a Mario Kart thing, because yesterday, you know, next Saturday is St. Patrick's Day, but that means yesterday was March 10th. Mario. It was Mario Day, right? Or at least I guess that's what people call it.
That's what Nintendo would like you to believe.
That's right. Well, now Google's getting in on this too, right? So yeah. Google actually installed what? Like something within their Google Maps apps that you could actually control it as Mario, right? Or when you get your driving directions, because you can actually have the app show you like the driving, like it kind of like, ooh, this is how you go down the street, and whoosh, you'd make a right turn here and a left turn here. But you can actually now have the Mario in his little cart be the thing driving down the street instead of the GPS arrow. That's kind of the big difference that they made. But
so how do you do that?
Let's see. Now you got to pull up the instructions. And I think it was only available for a limited time. It may not be there anymore.
Oh, but you can still access the Pac-Man stuff. I would have thought that they would have found that.
Well, let's see. In the Google Maps app, you have to, there's a question mark button on the bottom right of the app. Oh, it's 1 week. They say it's going to be 1 week is around. There's a question mark button in the bottom of the app. If you don't see the block, make sure you've updated your app.
And probably need to update.
Then if you still don't see it, you just have to be patient because it's rolling out globally throughout the day, although I would think it would be done by now. So, yeah, you can check that out and drive around as Mario from place to place. Just a silly little thing, but we've seen Google and Nintendo work together before, right?
Yeah, they did the Pokemon thing. Yeah,
which kind of turned into Pokemon Go, right? Wasn't there like a thought out there that was what led to the original conversations on Pokemon Go?
I think so.
That whole Pokemon and Google Maps thing? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any updates for the map.
Well, it's got to be in there somewhere. Keep looking. Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, Google Maps with the Mario Kart icon thing. I didn't even look. I just assumed it wasn't on iOS, but maybe it was. I haven't seen an update come through for Google Maps in quite some time, though, so maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm behind, but we'll see. I'll check it out and look for that. But first, we're going to get to some rapid-fire news. Right, Logie?
That is correct. So let's talk a little bit about... Let's see here. I'm going to open this back up again. Speaking of modding and stuff, you know, Breath of the Wild has had a lot of mods come out for it, even though it is a Switch game. It also is a Wii U game. A Wii U game that is also run in an emulator on PC. And so with that, people have done all sorts of character mods with the game. You even had CJ from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas in there, Sonic the Hedgehog, all sorts of crazy stuff. Now, though, they have modded Link into Linkle. So that's right. You can play as Linkle, and you know, she's available in the game if you know, have the way to play modded games on your PC using the CEMU Wii U emulator. And they've done some stuff, including, I think, support for, looks like, the crossbow as well. So she gets to use the crossbow and swords. So pretty awesome. It looks like a, you know, something that they should have officially done, but oh well. So awesome. And then, of course, you know, getting into rumors and speculation. Grand Theft Auto 6. There's an inside source that claims that Grand Theft Auto 6.
Rumors and speculation from sources.
Known as Project Americas, is apparently going to take place in Miami or Vice City. Honestly, I've seen so many rumors like, well, this is going to be Vice City for sure. I don't think anyone knows. But my understanding, though, was they were talking about with Grand Theft Auto Online that they were going to have, like, it be all kind of tied together. So, you know, they're saying that maybe you would be able to travel to Vice City and Liberty City. I thought Liberty City was supposed to be something that they were going to do at one time as well. But who knows? They're saying that the game is supposed to be, could be released as late as 2022 and and feature the first female lead character.
2022 on the PlayStation 6.
It sounds so, like, bullshit rumory, and, like, I don't know. I don't know what the...
So on the plausibility scale, this gets a 2 out of 5.
Yeah, will there be another Grand Theft Auto game? Of fucking course there will be, because they made so much fucking money off
of
it.
Yeah, of course.
Right now they're putting out Red Dead Redemption 2. So eventually, yes, there'll be a new Grand Theft Auto game. Is it going to be in Vice City? Maybe. Is it coming out before 2022? Hopefully. Is it going to have the first female lead? Maybe. I think these are all plausible things, yeah. But, like, is this, like, does someone really have insider information? Fuck no, they don't. Because I could come up with bullshit like this. I've seen, like, where people are like, yeah, it's got to be in Vice City because then you could do Grand Theft Auto 6 and, you know, the Roman numerals are V and I and you can have CE appear behind it. And it's like, oh, it's Vice City. Oh, so clever. No, okay, come on. It's...
All right.
Whatever.
Let's move on to something that's... It's more one of those half rumors, but it's more one of those, like, oh, people are jumping to this conclusion based on something that was said. And this one makes a lot more sense than some of the stuff you just went over. Apparently, one of the community managers from CDPR, who is behind CD Projekt Red, of course, behind The Witcher 3, community managers tweeted, "What if Geralt was to make a step out of the Witcher game for the very first time to make an appearance in one of the upcoming games later this year?" So, you know, unlike Loki's story, at least we know that, yes, they've basically said Geralt is going to be in something else besides The Witcher. And what is the game that people have pegged him as plausibly being in?
Smash Brothers!
Not Smash Brothers, but very close. Soul Calibur 6. Which, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually, that Soul Calibur 6 would be a good place for Geralt to land. That is a game, of course, in the Bandai Namco portfolio. And, of course, we know there have been cameos in the game. You know, Link was in it one time. Ezio was in Soul Calibur 5. So it's not like Geralt would be, like, completely out of place there.
He's going to be in Ridge Racer.
No, I don't think he's going to be in Ridge Racer. Anyway, Soul Calibur is due this year. PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Perhaps that would be a great thing to reveal at E3. Who knows? So... and lastly, here in Rapid Fire News, I'm sure a lot of you have already heard about this, and for some people, it's kind of sad news. For other people, it's kind of, well, we were just waiting for this to happen. Toys R Us in a very bad position right now, and according to sources from Fortune, saying that they are probably going to close all their U.S. stores.
Oh,
and
that
this
sucks.
This is because Toys R Us has not found a buyer, so they are preparing for a complete liquidation.
It sucks, but I am going to have to take advantage of all the sales.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you gaming fans out there, there could be some real deep sales on this stuff. But who knows? I mean, they may not. I mean, like, I would think the newest and greatest games, they're going to take that inventory and shift it somewhere else. The liquidators will move that inventory to somewhere that's going to pay
Isn't
more
it
for
owned
it.
By Amazon?
Toys R Us?
Yeah.
No, it's just the Amazon put them out of business.
Oh, I thought that there was some connection with Amazon and Toys R Us.
I think they have a partnership, but they don't own each other.
Oh, well, I was going to say they could just shift all their stuff to Amazon.
Maybe. Maybe. Who knows? But I would bet this would be a great time for toys to figurines, like Amiibo. You know, if you wanted an Animal Crossing Amiibo, now's the chance, because even at Target, those Animal Crossing Amiibo are already showing up on the shelf. And it kind of doesn't surprise me. I mean, Animal Crossing characters. Like, of course we know Isabelle. We know Rossetti, right? The owl that runs the museum, right? Okay, we know some of them. But they put out Amiibo for Animal Crossing that are like, who? Like Basic Bunny and Dipshit Dog. Who are these people? Like, so
Basic Bunny.
So, like, seriously, who are these people? So there's lots of Amiibo that are being unloaded.
If I ever make a game that's like Animal Crossing, it's going to have Basic Bunny and Dipshit Dog. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. Please, please, if game makers out there, if you're making an animal game, I would appreciate cameos from Basic Bunny and Dipshit Dog. They can live in a – they're the slumlords of your town. All right. Anyway, so that's I think, one thing you could expect to see clearance on. Disney Infinity, if there's any of those left. I know
they
that's,
were clearing – I think that stuff's gone by now.
You know,
they
Skylanders and the stuff that's still on shelves.
Skylanders, they were selling that stuff, I think – a buck a pop or something. It was like ridiculously cheap the last time I went there. They had a big dump bin of that stuff. I even considered, like, should I get Skylanders just because it's so damn cheap? And I was like, no. I even thought about, like, the Disney Infinity stuff, because they had the Finding Dory stuff. And I was like, well, we don't have those. Like, but how often do we play Disney Infinity? Oh, never. Okay, so yeah, I'm not going to buy those.
Now, some folks in chat pointing out, Azette says they will jack up the prices before discounting. Liquidation sales beware. And Rama kind of follows that with liquidation starts at retail price. And Azette says you won't get discounts at the beginning. That is a good thing to keep in mind. Any sale that was already happening will be done. Everything will be at retail price. And then, like, maybe for the first day, it'll be 10% off retail. And then the next, you know, 3 days, 20% off, then 30, then 40. And they'll probably, you know, keep knocking it down a little bit until they finally offload everything. But most people will have picked it clean by around the time, you know, 20% off happens. Because I'm even thinking, like, I'm going to go load up on Legos.
Fuck yes is what I was thinking.
But the chatters are right. They're going to mark up the price on those Legos to the maximum possible price.
Legos.
And those are things they could offload to other salespeople, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they could transfer that inventory somewhere
else.
I'm
usually pretty conscious of, like, what the deals are. I follow, like, a group that's Lego deals. So they, you know, will say, hey, this store is having a sale on this thing, you know. So, and I haven't really, there's not too much that's come out this year that I've, like, ooh, I really need to have that.
Rama also points out the Amazon and Toys R Us connection. Amazon used to run Toys R Us's online site. And Azette is also stressing in chat, do your comparison shopping to see if it is actually a deal. So,
and I want to say they've got some plug-in. I know I had it at one time, a plug-in for like Chrome or something like that that will actually price compare for you based on like you can go to, I think, Amazon or something like that, and select an item, and it'll tell you, is this the cheapest you can find it? You know, is it cheaper somewhere else? You know, and that type of thing. So I'm sure there's apps out there that do that kind of stuff, and you can scan barcodes.
ActDev says it's called Honey, but I'm,
yes,
sure,
honey,
I'm sure there's,
yes,
more than
you.
One.
Yes.
I see ads for that all the time. I'm sure there's competitors, too, even in
but,
that
yeah,
space.
Yeah, keep that in mind. Yeah. And also, like, what you should do is if you're looking at, like, getting stuff – not being so impulsive, but like kind of have an idea of what you want to get and keep an eye on the price on that stuff. And then, you know.
But at the same, here we are talking about how to pick Toys R Us clean like the fucking vultures we are. But isn't it kind of sad that Toys R Us is going under?
I mean, I'm sad.
Stories about price tags that you have to take in the back and claim your games and stuff. Plus, I think about all that retail space. Like, what's, man, all these big stores have been closing, and what's going to go in these big retail spaces? Kind of weird.
It's just all online nowadays, it seems like. That's, I mean, Circuit City's coming back.
Is it really?
Yeah,
I didn't
it's
even
an
know
online
that.
Store.
Oh, of course.
But they're thinking about doing physical locations, too. So
really?
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting.
Maybe they could reopen one of that building that still doesn't have anything in it that used to be the Circuit City over in over by Sunrise Mall.
Maybe.
You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like a Halloween store once a year, but it still looks like a fucking Circuit City.
No, they've got the one that's by Sunrise Mall. That's a Lumber Liquidators.
Oh, they finally put something in
it. Yeah, it's been there for a while.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I didn't really.
But yeah, it's Circuit City. It's always going to be Circuit City because it looks like Circuit City.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Great. Here comes
Mr. Smush is whining about something. I don't know. I'll go check his food supply and stuff in a minute here. But first, let's get to some release dates. And Loki, would you mind doing the U.S. releases? And you'll probably want to get prepared to do the U.K. releases
sure,
as well.
Sure, let's do it. So this week we've got a few things coming out. We have the Devil May Cry HD Collection on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. A game called Golem coming out on PlayStation 4. Cube 2 on PC, Mac, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Surviving Mars on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. The game I'm definitely picking up this week, Burnout Paradise Remastered, coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And last but not least, on the Nintendo Switch, Kirby Star Allies. I'm sure we have at least one or two listeners that are interested in picking that up.
I know of one that is probably importing it as we speak. In fact, Act Deft in chat says, I'm picking that up. All right. Going to Japan and checking out some of the releases in Japan this week. Let's see. I think the big date over there is the 15th when we see stuff. Like on the PlayStation 4 this week, we're going to see the Silver 2425 as well as Galgun 2 in regular and limited edition.
Nice.
That is on the PlayStation 4 as well as Shingeki no Kyojin 2 in a regular and collector's edition. Also this week, Winning Post 8. 2018, if I'm not mistaken, that is horse racing, right? Winning Post is horse racing?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. I'm trying to bring up the box to confirm. Yes, it is. So for you Derby Owners Club fans, there you go. And then Devil May Cry HD Collection is also out on the 15th. So pretty busy week on the PlayStation 4 this week. Yep, still Vita releases in Japan, including Shingeki no Kyojin 2 is also on the PlayStation Vita this week. Checking the Nintendo Switch this week, Galgun 2 is also going to be out on the Switch, and Winning Post 8 2018, as well as that same Shingeki no Kyojin 2 is also there. And then Hoshi no Kirby Star Allies, same date as the US and Europe on the 16th. Quickly checking the 3DS, who actually, 3DS even has some releases still. Future Card Buddy Fight, Tanju or Tachi no Saikyu Body comes out this week on the 3DS. So you can fight alongside your little panda bear friends. It's a card battle game is what this is. So, neat. How about the UK, Logie?
UK's got some stuff coming out as well. So we've got, starting off with The Raven Remaster. That's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And we have a game called The Council Complete Season on Xbox One. Devil May Cry HD Collection on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We have Surviving Mars as well, coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Kirby Star Allies on the Switch. Burnout Paradise Remastered on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. A game called Beast Quest on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And apparently, oh wait, that's the following week. I thought that had been a little bit early. That's it.
All right, we're going to get back into some news here, but first we're going to take a trip to the mailbag. Every week you guys email us at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we dive into the mailbag and read some of our favorite letters here on air, except I had the stupid mailbag open earlier and I closed it.
No.
Somehow. How did I do that? I just had it up. My gosh. All right, well, let's see if I can get... good. I got right by the...
Blame it on the cat.
There's where browser history came in handy. Thank you. We do have one email tonight. Again, participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. Let's get right into tonight's email, which comes to us from Redertainment, a serial emailer, but this one's a good one tonight, who links us to an article from Polygon. Please don't ever send me stories from that website. Now, just to be fair to Redertainment, I don't want to make Redertainment sad because I appreciate the emails we get from Redertainment. Redertainment is about to make fun of this article. So I guess under those stipulations, then that would be okay. However, don't send me links to that website. All right. Anyway, the story that was sent is the headline, "Is Mario Still a Plumber?" And Redertainment.
Oh, wasn't this a while ago?
March 5th is when it was dated, it looks like.
Seems like so long.
Yeah, so Redertainment goes on in this email. "This week, a story broke that added more material to the discussion as to whether or not Mario is or is not a plumber. When I saw this story, a question came to mind, a question that I'd like to pose to the wider Orange Lounge Radio community." Followed by this in all caps. "What the fuck does it matter what Mario's profession is? In what way has Mario being a plumber affected any of the Mario games? Does Mario hit people with a pipe wrench? No. Has Mario ever been delayed from saving the princess because he was busy snaking a drain? No. Has Mario ever jumped into a pipe and been stopped from reaching the other end because he ran into a fatberg in the sewer? No. Yes, you could say that the very existence of the pipe in Mario are due to him being a plumber, but those pipes are just a delivery method inside the levels. If Mario was another profession, something else would be used as the delivery method. If Mario was a letter carrier, this delivery method would be a mailbox. If Mario was a pizza man, the delivery method would be a pizza..." I totally skipped a sentence in the email. But you know what I meant. Mailbox, pizza box. "If Mario was a Time Lord, the delivery method would be a TARDIS. Even if Nintendo was adamant about using pipes as a delivery method, Nintendo would invent some other way to legitimize the existence of the pipes. For example, Bowser is one of those crocodiles that people think live in the sewers, so Mario uses pipes to go and battle Bowser the sewer crocodile." Signed, Redertainment. So what does Mario's job fucking matter is the question that's being asked here. Well, here's the thing, and I think you kind of missed this in your email, but maybe you, because people don't talk about this game enough. But before there was Super Mario Brothers, there was simply Mario Brothers. And what happened in Mario Brothers? You got to think back to that plot of that original game. What happened in Mario Brothers? It was creatures coming out of sewer pipes that Mario and his brother Luigi had to stop, basically. So, like, you know, they would knock the animals, like the little turtles and stuff, over, and they would kick them off into the ocean or whatever that was supposed to be in the stage. The abyss, yes. So that's where the pipe stuff comes from. And I suppose in the context of those games, I guess he was cleaning the sewer, so that makes him a plumber, okay. Now, before that, he was in the business of being a kidnapper or a donkey napper, right? Because didn't he... No, in the first game, he's trying to save the princess from Donkey Kong. But in the second game, Mario fucking kidnaps Donkey Kong. Like, this, Mario gets his fucking revenge, doesn't he? So I was a little, you know, surprised that he ended up being Mario. But also in those games, that guy was Jumpman. He wasn't Mario yet. So once Mario became Mario in the original Mario Brothers, there was plumber context to it. So... why do we have to fucking have that confirmed? That's what I don't understand. I'm not going to read that story, but why do we have to have that confirmed? When was this ever in any doubt that Mario was a plumber? And to be fair to Redertainment's question, what does it fucking matter? It kind of doesn't. He's right. I suppose some people like to get into the story, though. And, you know, when the games used to come out on the NES, back in the day, Redertainment, way back in the day, and you might be too young to remember this. I don't know how old you are. Back in the day when we bought video games, they came with these things. They're relics. They're called instruction manuals. You remember those instruction manuals?
Yeah.
And sometimes those instruction manuals would tell a little story about what's going on in the game. And they might even have art that's going on in the game. Sometimes the art looked way better than the game itself, such as the original Mega Man. No, I'm kidding. But like the old Atari 2600 games, right? Had like pretty kick-ass box art. And then the games themselves looked like, you know, Blocky the Block, Blockerson. So... what does it matter that he's a plumber? Those little instruction manuals were a lot of fun. People can have fun with their fan art on Reddit and stuff, but you're right. You would think after all this time, maybe he'd wield a pipe wrench or something.
But then we get in the Half-Life 3 rumors and we're not going to do that. And it's just like this, okay? It's like you've got porn star Ron Jeremy, and... if Ron Jeremy decided to stop doing porn, he's still going to be a fucking porn star because he's goddamn Ron Jeremy. So Mario is always going to be a plumber because that's the character they was. Unless Mario's like, I fucking quit this plumbing job and I'm going to become, I don't know what the fuck ever he's going to become. A carpenter or something.
Okay. Rama in chat says, Rob Roberts, in the instruction manual for Super Mario Brothers, Mario was listed as a citizen of the Mushroom Kingdom. The plumber aspect came in for the Super Mario Brothers Super Show and the original Mario Brothers. Okay, but wait a minute. One of those things precedes the other by many years. Okay, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show was, what, 88? I want to say it was like fourth grade or fifth grade that show was on. Okay, the original Mario Brothers was like 83, 82 maybe? I'd have to look it up on the wiki. Like the original Mario Brothers was definitely first before any of that stuff in the instruction manual or any of that. And that's where the plumber shit was, the original Mario Brothers, right? I feel like we've spent way too much time on this topic. All right. Thank you, Tiger Claw. Confirms 1983. All right. So be it. Let's move on. That was it for emails. If you want to send us emails, participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to do it. In the meantime, Loki is going to get to some more news.
Yes. So this was unfortunate if you happen to be an owner of an Oculus Rift, but they released a patch that broke the Rift. Actually, they didn't release a patch. They had an issue with a security certificate that had expired. And so because of that, it rendered all the headsets inoperable. That sucks. But thankfully, though, they did eventually fix it with the manual patch. And, you know, to apologize for the downtime, they did offer up, you know, anybody that had used their headset after February 1st would receive $15 in Oculus Store credit. I don't know. I feel that you should, if you're releasing hardware that can be broken that easily by a security update or something like that, that there's a problem. I don't think you would have this problem with the Vive.
The project manager left that off the spreadsheet, apparently.
I mean,
I
still have a problem with the Oculus Store being like a closed system anyways, that I feel that.
But is it really closed, Loki?
It's still the principle of it. Okay.
Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
I have a problem. Like, I just feel that if this was handled by like Valve or something like that, so for one, it's not going to this isn't going to happen. And two, that there would be just easier workarounds to get it working type of thing. It wouldn't be like, oh, well, we're fucked. You know, until they fix it. I don't know. I just think that there's more that they could have done to avoid this.
Well, this was a big deal that, like, anything remotely relating to... it wasn't just, like, people couldn't play games. But, like, if you had to, like, touch an Oculus, like, you were running an arcade that charges people to play Oculus, you were down. If you were making games for Oculus, you were down. So this was something that, you know, this boo-boo affected everything, the whole system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would think that they would have, well, now they know that not to make this happen again. So hopefully this can be avoided in the future.
So, you know, Bobby is saying his piece in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Leckel says, yes, the Vive would have the same problem. This is a Microsoft requirement. Even Apple OS has the same security requirement. This is a base level OS issue. Yes, they could have kept their certificate up to date. You are correct. But the HTC Vive has the exact same developer certificates that have expiration dates. Some folks in chat bringing up potentially related circumstances. Rageinator saying, years ago, wasn't there an issue with PlayStation Network or Xbox Live due to leap year? And as such, the service went down?
Yep, that was PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
Because they can't calendar.
Well, sometimes when the odometer rolls over, it's like Gandhi in Civilization.
Oh my god, it's Y2K!
Gandhi was supposed to be the most passive and not use the nukes, but unfortunately that modifier caused when it went negative, that number would go negative in certain difficulties.
That's not a bug anymore. That's a feature.
Yeah, and it rolled over into the highest positive possible, and Gandhi would be the first to nuke your ass in Civilization.
That's hilarious.
And still is. Now they've kind of embraced that, and like now they do that on purpose, basically. So. But everything's fixed now, right?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to something about Zen Studios. This is an interesting story because you don't hear usually about studios canceling patches. And so the patch for Pinball FX3 was canceled. Yeah, Zen Studios was going to do a patch for Pinball FX 3, and it was supposed to fix some frame rate issues that the game has been having. They've canceled the patch. In an announcement, Zen Studios said on social media, "Hey guys, we might have been premature in the excitement surrounding the Switch release. We really think this is one of the best platforms to play the game and wanted to make it to everyone's liking. We've sat on this problem, contemplating it for a long time, trying to find a good way to up the frames per your request. We found that there was no universal method to do this, and each table would require a lot of separate work. The volume in we simply have, we don't have the bandwidth for the graphics and the QA department right now. We really do apologize for us being a bit slow to properly address this. P.S. Check out Son of Zeus, though. We were able to better some of that table's problems in camera 3 and 4. So basically, they don't have the time or resources to do a patch to fix some of these frame rate issues. I've noticed some frame rate stuff when I've played Pinball FX, but it's not like game killing or game murdering. I just kind of went, oh, I guess this is just one of the drawbacks of playing on the Switch is that once in a while I'm going to do a little like, huh? Which is, but it's not that bad, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It just, obviously, it runs pretty smoothly, flawlessly on my PC, and I don't necessarily have that same issue on my Switch. That's the big difference.
It could be worse. You could roll out an anti-cheat patch for your game,
yeah,
like PUBG, and break everything, you know, and have all sorts of problems and then have to backtrack that.
But still, it's kind of interesting to hear a developer acknowledge, yeah, there's some frame rate issues, but you know what? We just don't have the resources to fix, you know, everything. And maybe it's just because the Switch isn't the same hardware as the other stuff this game's running on, so it's just one of those corners that's got to be cut.
It's too bad.
Yeah. I still like Pinball FX, so I don't want to be too harsh on the company. I think this is just some of the reality of game development is that, you know, I think a lot of us sit here and go, oh, they can always fix it with a patch. They can do that with a patch. Well, you have to be able to pay the people to make the patch. And if you don't have those types of resources and you can't, you know, bring on those resources temporarily is usually not something you want to do. You know, it doesn't happen.
Or it could be even like they've done it in the past where it's like, we're going to spend, like, say, $100,000 to fix this via patch. That's what it's going to cost to develop this, but we're only going to make $50,000 as a return on this. Is it worth wasting $50,000 on?
Yeah. And that would depend on the size of your studio. And I don't think Zen Studios is that big of a company.
And
are there that many people playing Zen Pinball on the Switch? I don't know. I mean, it is the vertical mode is pretty awesome. Like, if you haven't checked it out on the Switch, it's worth looking at.
It could always be like they can't do it right now, but maybe later on when they have more resources to allocate to it, they could do it. But maybe. It's just maybe not.
Or figure out what tables are the most popular and fix those first. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's why they did the Son of Zeus one, because that's the table a lot of people got for free, because that week they released on the Switch, you could get that table for free. I think everybody now, you can't get that one for free anymore, but you can get that. I think Sorcerer's Apprentice is the free one that you get you get something for free. So anyway, just a few more stories, then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But first, Loki.
So this is actually pretty cool. I like the whole announcement they were showing off with this. And I can't remember the last game. I think it was Far Cry 3 that they did an editor for. But Far Cry 5, they've got a new mode called Far Cry Arcade. And it's going to come with a map editor. So where people are going to be able to make their own custom maps for the game. With different objects and create new levels and maybe even game types out of it. And, of course, you know, that's going to be pretty awesome. Far Cry, they said, I remember, like, even, like, the original Far Cry games had, like, map editors as well. The last one I remember playing with was Far Cry 2, and I know that they had one, Far Cry Instincts, as well, on the Xbox 360. I remember playing with that as well. But this looks really cool, and actually has me kind of... it wasn't really on my radar as a game I kind of wanted to play, but now that they mention this map editor and stuff, it kind of has me curious, like, that might be kind of fun to mess around with. So it might actually get me to purchase the game. We'll have to see, but very cool. Yeah, so it's like 7,000 different objects in there, and all these different user-created levels are going to be available, I guess, to play as you will, and they're going to have different modes. I'm really interested to check this out when they see how creative people can get with this stuff. So very cool. And the game, of course, comes out on March 27th. So I may have to pick this up.
Yeah, this sort of thing seems right up your alley.
This kind of reminds me a little bit of like some of the crazy shit they can do with, you know, like...
Bobby Blackwolf calls it Far Cry Mario Maker.
Sort of. I mean, well, Far Cry, like, I'll be honest, they used to, this was part of kind of like the package with Far Cry. It's like, okay, you'd have Far Cry, the single player game, and then you'd have this like map editor and you can play multiplayer and stuff. And it was really cool. Like, I remember playing with some of that stuff. But it was kind of limited. This, they said that they're not only going to release this stuff, but they're going to keep updating it as well, adding new things to it. So it kind of has that whole, what was their spinoff game? The Far Cry, I don't remember now. But yeah, like the kind of the tongue-in-cheek.
Blood Dragon?
Blood Dragon, yes. It has a Far Cry Blood Dragon kind of vibe to it. Like the screenshot that they show here, there's like a, looks like a guy
that
about spin-off
to punch a bear. Did really, that Blood Dragon did really well though, so I'm not.
Blood Dragon was a great game. Yeah. It was just cheesy and weird, but I want more Blood Dragon.
All right. All right, and lastly tonight, you know, before we get to Skype calls over at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, I know video games have been in the media a lot recently. In fact, shut up. Don't spoil my story, you stupid auto-playing video. I thought these things were supposed to be blocked in Chrome. Oh, yeah. I'm still on Windows XP on this computer, so Chrome isn't automatically blocking things. Anyway, here's the deal. So I know in the media a lot lately we've heard about the video games. Some people want to blame video games for causing all the violence and some of the serious problems we have in this country, which to those of us that have been commentating on this stuff for over 15 years, it's like a broken record.
Well, it is a broken record. Scapegoat. It's like the only question that killed that argument right there is, do they have video games in the rest of the world? Yes. Then it's not the fucking factor. Yep. Because yep. We don't have this violence in other parts of the country where they have stricter
Bingo.
Gun laws.
Bingo.
They have the same access to these video games. So that is fucking null and void. Let's get on to the real topic now. They kill the whole thing in like 5 minutes.
I know. But yeah, there was that whole meeting that they had at the White House, which was totally one-sided.
He's a fucking dumbass.
I know. Anyway, that actually wasn't what I wanted to bring up, but because, you know, that happened, a lot of the media is saying, is the president on to something with this? Do video games cause violent
behavior? Do we not ask the same question about why the rest of the world doesn't have this problem, even though they have video games? Fuck no. Let's sensationalize.
A psychologist named Patrick Markey did some research on this and showed that 80% of mass shooters didn't even show an interest in violent video games. In comments on this, Markey said, it seems like something that should make us safer, so it's a totally understandable reaction. The problem is just the science, the data, does not back up that they actually have an effect. Apparently what's interesting about this, images of the rifle that were in the game Call of Duty are from a lawsuit that Sandy Hook parents who sued Remington said the company bears responsibility for the killings of the 26 children because the guy who shot, I don't want to say his name because I don't want to make him famous, the guy who shot those poor children at the school used that type of gun to do it. Another comment here, one of the attorneys, Joss Koskoff, said he was within this younger male demographic that Remington was trying to sell guns to. What we are seeing here is what I describe as a chickens coming home to roost scenario, where you saturate, you sell so recklessly so many of these weapons to this high-risk demographic. So they reached out for comment to somebody, I guess, that was in the Trump thing panel and didn't hear back on this. The ESA has commented that numerous scientific studies show there is no connection between video games and violence. And Markey actually says in his research, it shows that when a new violent video game is released, crime actually drops because people might be taking out their frustrations on a video game, I would assume, or what's going on or something like that. I don't know.
It's
you would think there's a lot of people out there who kill people in video games so they don't do it in real life.
It's dumb. I mean, to me, the connection between violent video games and people that shoot up other people is like saying, like, these people ate food. Food causes murderers. You know, I mean, that's about the same type of correlation that they could draw there. I mean, but once again, do they have food in other countries? Yes, they do. Do they have murder rates like we do? No, they don't. Then that's not the fucking reason.
Kaijudo in chat says they can make the argument that violent video games get censored in other countries more than this country, not Canada. That would be my biggest thing to point at. Canada, though. Anytime there's a problem about, you know, America, this America, Canada, though. They're fine. Canada, though. And I know what you're thinking about. You think about how Australia, you know, has a more stringent thing where like Mortal Kombat wasn't allowed there.
But they have that stuff now where they
Australia also banned guns altogether. So it's a little apples to oranges.
What about Japan?
Yeah, a great example.
Japan has, you know,
the same games.
Same games, yes. And they have.
Sometimes, actually, it should be pointed out, sometimes, in the interest of all fairness, Japan does do some censorship in games, and I'm thinking of Until Dawn specifically. There was a scene in Until Dawn where it fades to black, and you hear the scream, and you didn't actually see it. And I think it's the scene where, spoiler alert, somebody gets cut in half. Or did they? Ha ha ha. So that is that scene I do not believe actually exists in the Japanese version of the game. So there is some censorship that happens, but
I don't
Canada
think,
though.
I doubt that one scene in one game is gonna cause that much of a difference. Like, oh, I didn't get to see the guy cut in half. I guess I'm not a murderer now.
ActDef says Japan has a strict policy on gore, though, like no dismemberment. And Akuma JP, who would have some authority on what happens in Japan, says we do not have guns here, and movies had no violence. Yeah, and Akuma JP brings up a point on the movies, which I always kind of go, why are we picking on games when movies are just as easily accessible and show pretty much all the same things, if not worse? Like, I understand there's something to be said about, oh, well, you take control in the games or whatever, but you're still playing 9 times out of 10 some type of story, some type of narrative, and the imagery, which is so terrible, is the same imagery they show in movies. Again, Canada doesn't seem to have this problem.
The problem is you have...
Canada also has a really diverse, like, political... Like, if you look at, like, the equivalent of the cabinet for the president here, what would be the equivalent in Canada there? It's, like, really fucking diverse. It's so interesting!
Exactly. And it's just, like, you have a bunch of old people in the fucking Congress and shit that don't have any fucking clue what's in actual video games and are making decisions based on what somebody tells them might be the reason. I mean, it's just like, I'm sure...
I'm sorry. I just cannot believe that, you know, the guy that supposedly runs this company had that meeting so one-sided where, like, people were there who have not made or influenced a video game in their fucking life. And their money is made off of books written to bash video games that are sold to a core audience that believes this shit. Like,
oh,
it's
yeah,
just,
exactly.
It blows my
mind.
I'll
tell you exactly how
they
it
were
worked.
There. They were there for profits. They were in this meeting for profits for themselves that have nothing to do
it's
with
because
making
some dude went on
saver.
Fox News to blame somebody else other than the guns because they're in the pocket of the NRA. And so what happened there? Trump saw that, and because Fox News basically tells him what to think, he's like, oh shit, it must be the fucking video games. And because he's a clueless idiot, he decided that we better have a meeting about this instead of fucking gun violence and about what laws we can, you know, do to stop that. And that's why we wasted this time with this circle jerk of a thing that is just not going to go anywhere. I mean, the guy's so fucking clueless. We need to have a rating system for movies, he said. Do you not fucking know about the MPAA that's been around since fucking ever? I mean, like, are you that fucking stupid?
Here's the most basic thing. Again, I'm not trying to get political. I'm not. But, like, I can't fucking help it. Especially, you know what? And you might think this political rant is not gaming related. But look what just happened in Washington this week. Like, you know, that types of conversation leads to, should we ban video games? You know, I don't think legally they can. The Supreme Court's set a precedent on that with the whole, you know, what happened here in California. However, yes, it does tie to video games. So if you think this shit doesn't affect you, like, wake up. And what blows my fucking mind about this is that, you know, I realize gun control and this stuff is a passionate issue for people, but I kind of thought we hit an agreement on all sides.
I think we settled this back in the 90s. Well,
I thought we hit an agreement on all sides, Democrat, Republican, the folks. I thought everybody hit this consensus that no one needs a bump stock. Like, I thought we've reached that. Like, everybody agreed on that at some point, right? Except the NRA. But the NRA is there to sell more they are an organization that tries to sell more guns and sell things like that. So, of course, they're not going to be for banning the bump stock because they want to keep selling them. So, fuck the NRA. So, but my understanding is both Democrats and Republicans all agree bump stocks aren't needed, right? So, why haven't we still said they should stop selling bump stocks. Why is it still?
It's because
how many months has it been since
it's
Vegas?
It's because a since lot Andy of Hook, the
how it's still
because politicians like being career politicians, and in order to be a politician, they have to have money to run their campaigns. Where they get this money from? The NRA.
Please, please, please vote and throw these fuckers who can't do shit out of office. Ah! Anyway. Sorry. Thank you for the hug over in chat at live.vognetwork.com. We're going to open up the Skype line. I'm sure some of you want to comment on this. Or really, something else would be okay, too. If you want to comment on something else, that is completely okay. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Or you can, of course, call us on the old school phone, 1-877-GAME-OLR. Let's see. I'm going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. I guess the good old lawyer, Jack Voldemort, as we call him here on the show, tried to inject himself into that White House debate. I had read that too, SJ and Hunter Matt. I read that somewhere that he was trying to get in on that. I don't know if that was like an Onion satire thing or if that's real, but I would think that guy is so fucking irrelevant that this is one of those things that he could probably cling to. Like, oh, I fought these video game industry people for years. Have a seat, bitch. And that's my message to Jack Voldemort. Let's see. Also in chat at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says, can you remember the call a while ago about Mexico doing a rating system? This is pretty much feels like it. And we have a gun ban too. Let's see. Akuma JP says, vote if Trump can happen. I don't believe in vote no more. Akuma JP, look at how many people voted and where. And that's why things happen that surprise people. And Dungeon Buster also points out the Electoral College voted him in, not necessarily the popular vote. That's a very interesting perspective
on
that
a good way too,
as
but,
well.
You know.
Yeah, well, one battle at a time. All right, anyhow, let's get to the calls. Maybe our caller has something else and gets us off the political stuff. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Rage Eater.
Hey, Rage Eater, what's on your mind, buddy?
Well, two topics. I'll make my original topic, the second one. Your discussion kind of takes a little precedence. I think it's a little bit more important. My local CBS affiliate ran a story on the video game topic just the other day. In fact, I ended up contacting them via Facebook with a response pretty much since then. And now I basically said in so many words to them that they're just the politicians and what they are just using video games is a convenient scapegoat. If you think about violence in media is nothing new. We had violence in movies and TV, case in point. The Godfather movies, the old westerns from the 50s and 60s where there were shootouts left and right. And I can go on and on and
violence, even, an orgy of violence has been in this culture forever, yes.
Yeah, yeah, even in literature, has anyone ever read Shakespeare? Hello, Othello, Hamlet, everyone dies. I mean, come on.
You know what else is kind of violent? And again, I'm going to open a huge can of worms with this, so I'm really just going to leave it at this. But, like, some of the Bible is pretty violent, too. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
I just noticed some of the things they teach us with are not always the kindest and sunshine and rainbows types of stories. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I know that's very controversial, but, I mean, I don't think I'm saying anything wrong. Some of the stories in the Bible are pretty brutal.
Yeah. Now, here's a rhetorical question. Yeah. Have you ever heard of an instance where someone had read Hamlet and decided to go on a shooting spree? I sure as hell haven't.
I don't think anyone got shot in Hamlet.
Well, the point being, no one's read those plays and whatnot and decided to murder people or anything like that. Or read Romeo and Juliet decided to commit suicide. I mean, now the difference, all the difference that comes to mind between video games and these other forms of media is that video games, relatively speaking, is still relatively new. Video games, commercially speaking, have only been around since, 1971, 1972, thereabout. And now, also, tangentially speaking, generationally speaking, who's in power right now? Baby boomers, right? By the time video games start coming around with, Space War and Pong and all that, these baby boomers were already adults. They weren't exposed to video games, when they were kids like us. And
here's what it is. Here's what it is, Raginator. I appreciate your points, but I'm going to break it down real quick.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, is that, in our culture, we want to blame somebody else and accept no personal responsibility for some of the things that happen. And, right now it's blame the video games. And there was a time and place when people wanted to ban books. I mean, they still do. I books like Catcher in the Rye and shit. Like people like and there's been commentary that's been done on this. Like the book Fahrenheit 451 kind of takes the whole book burning thing and does the whole thing with it. So our culture has always been obsessed with blaming something else besides ourselves. But the reality is, my reality and the way I view all this stuff is, and I'm pretty sure most people would agree with me on this, everybody's got this little thing inside, this little switch inside them. And most people, I think, would call it a moral compass. And that moral compass tells you what's right and wrong. And, like most things in the world, it's a little bit of a spectrum, right? Some people are always going to adhere to that moral compass. They're not going to break any rule. They're not going to do anything that, breaks that moral compass. They're not going to have sex before marriage, and they're not going to, whatever their religion tells them, they're not going to violate any of that stuff. They're going to adhere to that moral compass, strictly. Some people, it's a little more of a gray. I fucking jaywalked today. I said the F word. Whatever. But at the end of the day, I like to think I'm a pretty good person. And that moral compass and so forth, there's also the little part of that switch is the little switch that's like, is it a good idea to murder somebody? Like, actually murder. Or let's just say hurt somebody. Is it a good idea to physically harm another human being? And the good news is, Raginator, I think for most of us, that switch is in the no position. But unfortunately, for some folks... And that ain't the video game fault. That ain't the movie's fault. That ain't anybody's fault. But the person who chooses to hurt another human being.
Exactly. And not only that, but to touch on a point that was being made earlier, video games have ratings on them. They had ratings since the early to mid-90s. They have the call ESRB ratings going on. And every package... since then, rating on the front, clear as day, and descriptors on the back, telling you exactly why that game has that such and such a rating. And now, to the best of my knowledge, no store, including GameStop, will sell an M-rated game. Unless, to a kid, unless the parent is physically there, and they, and then the employee will tell, the parent what the rating of the game is and why the game has a rating.
Well, Raginator, GameStop does indeed have that moral, or GameStop does indeed have that policy in place that they don't sell M-rated games to kids, but. Some of the employees at GameStop, their moral compass might tell them, fuck this place. I'm just here because I need a job. What? Get the hell out of here, kid. It's the only way I'm going to get rid of you to sell you this game. What the fuck? Give me your money and get the fuck out of here.
I think both you and Loki have, not necessarily tonight, but have commented in shows past where, sometimes, a parent could be at a store with their kid, and let's call the kid Little Johnny, and Little Johnny will say to mom, hey, I want this new GTA game. You know, they'll take the game to the counter. The employee say, hey, this game is rated M for mature. This is why it's rated that way. And the parent will say something to the effect of, I don't give a shit. I want my kid wants this game. He won't shut up until he gets this game.
That is absolutely. And that is between the parent and the kid. And then if that kid goes and does something, I bet that parent's going to be the first one to blame everything else.
Yeah. And then, I think also, if I remember right, now correct me if I'm wrong, but something was said after that, where they, would come back hours later or days later or whatever, with the game toast, you want to make a return and say, oh my God, this game has this, this, and this in it. I want a refund. How could you, sell this to my kid?
As an old boss of mine said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Enough of my original this topic. I want to get to my second one before you close out this
Rajneer,
call.
I'm actually going to go ahead and let you go. We're already up on 10 minutes on this call. I got to give time for others to get through. But feel free to send us an email, okay?
Sure, sounds good.
All right, take care, buddy. All right, 1-877-GAME-OLR, username on Skype, which is the way most people do it. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to give us a call and talk about anything that's going on in the news this week. In fact, there it is, lighten up. I knew we'd have more calls coming in. That's why I had to let poor Rajneer go. But hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDef.
Hey, ActDef, what's on your mind, buddy?
Well, pretty much continuing what the topic is right now.
That's all right. We brought it up, so let's talk about it. What's on your mind?
Yeah, and it needs to be discussed, but...
But you're
yeah.
not in America, so you may have a different perspective on all this.
And not exactly a different perspective, because we also have people down here, like, they say, oh, video games are bad for you. Like I was saying in one of my calls previously, that they want to do a rating system down here because, children are getting influenced by video games, and they're bad because they make them violent. And
do you know actually? And I'm like, Adef, what? Adef, can I jump in here real quick? Because I mean, I want to ask you this because, and I know you're just one person in a very big country, but can I tell you that the perception of many Americans, is that Mexico is a more dangerous place than the U.S. and that Mexico has these drug cartels that behead people, and for that reason, we don't vacation at what is that Playa del Carmen or whatever is that place that they told people not to go to just this last week?
Yeah, I think it's Playa del Carmen, and I'm not gonna lie, Mexico is a dangerous place, but and I do see like in newspapers, news sites over here that people got beheaded or someone in the cartel got caught and many are dead and something, and it's like daily basis, but it's pretty much contained if something, and only in certain areas, like if, and especially like where I live, and it's next to the border, so it's like really close mm-hmm. to the United States. You can see like people like getting assassinated or getting killed every day, but in comparison, even to like this year in the United States has had way more killings than we do, in just my hometown. It's crazy. It's like wow. I don't understand. And going to the video game thing. It's if something, I have to thank video games for like teaching me how to read Spanish, read English, and speak English, write in English. I have a lot to thank video games for. I think if it weren't for video games, I wouldn't be right here right now talking to you. I wouldn't have a job because of video games. I learned English and I teach English for a living. So yeah, I don't know.
That's a great point. That's a great point, is that we oftentimes neglect all the great things that video game has brought our culture, because I firmly believe this. Video games are art. and art enhances culture. And some of us, you know, we have been, I have met you, Act Deft, and you've been a great listener and support for many, many years because we're both kind of into video games. And you're right, without video games, I probably wouldn't know who you are at all in this life. And video games have brought that together. And just like the video games have brought together people, couples that met playing World of Warcraft and going on adventures together and deciding, hey, we should like go on a date offline and see what happens. And then they get married and have World of Warcraft babies. Like, video games have had that impact on our culture. And a lot of that is pretty amazing. And you're right, video games can also be used to teach. And video games have been used to teach for many years. We always on this show talk about the Oregon Trail and Number Munchers. Like, these were games that fucking impacted us big time as we were growing up, you know? And like kids that are Loki's kids' age are going to think that way about Minecraft and the stuff that they're learning on now.
And it's all because of parenting. It has to be good parenting. Every good teaching, and I know this because, again, I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from home. You can go to school, you can learn a lot of stuff. And even like right now with all the teaching methods that exist right now, all good teaching comes from home. Yep. All good manners, all the good stuff has to come from home. So if anybody doesn't have that, of course they're going to go berserk. They're going to do crazy things. It's like basic principles. And again, it's like baffling to see many people blaming other stuff for especially video games or any media in general, blaming people or blaming, oh, it's because of this. No, it's not.
So you're basically saying some of that moral compass I brought up earlier, a lot of that is shaped and made and melded while you're growing up in your home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. All right. Act after, I'm going to let you go to try to get more calls, but I really appreciate your perspective on this.
One more thing.
Yeah, of course.
People need more Kirby. That's it.
Well, we'll all have the chance next week.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Bye. All right. One more call, and we're going to call it a night. Hello. You're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I mean, I had to jump in on this. Now, Rob, I want you to know, I have been listening to this show for a long time.
You have been listening to the show for a long time, and I appreciate it. I was just thinking, my trip to New York, when I met you and SSG 100 Matt, and like people that I don't even think listen to this show anymore, like Sephiroth 1215 and stuff, that was 10 years ago.
Yes.
10 years ago.
And I've called in, and I've said this before. OLR is more than just a show about, at first, DDR, and now games.
It's a show about food and dieting. Weren't you listening earlier?
Well, I kind of missed the first part because I was underground, because signal kind of sucks when you're on an underground train, you know?
Oh, and real quick, I am told by SJ 100 Math that Sephiroth 1215 still listens via podcast. Well, shout out. Thanks for your support as well.
And that is awesome.
That is awesome.
And there have been many times you have brought up non-gaming topics that we have all said it's political, but it's not, because it's stuff that has to be discussed because it impacts our hobbies and what we do.
Yes.
And this whole video game violence thing, I'm just like, is this what whatever he is smoking, that's a strain that I don't want, because I know it'll screw me up. I will say this about video games. If it wasn't for me having my first computer at the age of 4, which led me to the Atari, Nintendo, and so forth, I probably would not be this nut about hardware and technology doing IT support. I might be doing something else. Who knows? When I was living with my god sister for about 2 years, and my nephew, he would sit there and play GTA 3 all the time, and he freaking loved it. But, and mind you, the kid at the time was 12, 13. But he knew that this was fantasy. And you can't go out and walk up to somebody's car, throw them out, take the car, and drive off. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
That's something that my god sister instilled in him. And that's something that I instilled in him. And let me tell you, when I was in the Marines, when we had downtime, We would be sitting there playing Battlefield, Call of Duty, this and that. Yes, we know it's a fantasy fun game, but it was for shits and giggles. There were guys I knew who were actually out in the front lines. What were they doing on downtime? Playing Call of Duty, playing Street Fighter. It was just fun games.
Yeah.
I just have to say, it goes back to the home. I'm sorry. If your kid is coming out saying that, if your kid is like playing video games and thinks this is how it works in the real life, you need to sit down with your child one-on-one and tell them this is fantasy. If the teachers are telling your child that it doesn't work that way, do not blame the teacher. It comes from the home. And, you know, and I don't want to put myself out there, but I grew up in that neighborhood where the name of the game was duck and cover, because if you didn't duck and cover, you would catch a bullet in your head, because it could have been a stray bullet. Who knows, you know? And video games gave me that outlet where, you know, I wasn't allowed to go outside and play, because God forbid I went outside and played with my friends, someone would get shot, and I would be that person. So my great-grandmother, Lord rest her soul, got me a Nintendo and said, I will get you whatever games you want. I just don't want you outside. Yes, as I got older and I understood what was going on, I went out and did what I had to do. But growing up, I was at home in front of my TV playing Super Mario Bros. 3, you know?
So I'm only not talking because I'm so captivated by your story right now, because, like, it just, it's heavy. It's heavy, Rama. But, like, this is a story that, like, people out there who are writing books to profit off of the negativity that they put out there about video games, like, this is the story that they need to hear, is that video games have fucking saved a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to sound heavy. It's just that
it's fucking honest, Rama. It's honest, and I appreciate that. And you're giving a perspective here that not a lot of people have had or are going to, your reality is no one else's reality, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get
just
that.
Like my reality is not your reality and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. It's, you know, when the time comes when I have kids, they're going to play the same games that I did, and they're going to know you cannot do this in real life, because if you do, it ain't the police you got to worry about. It's me you have to worry about, because it's going to be a punishment and discipline. And I realize I might or might not have failed as a parent, but that means I have to do better.
I believe the line you're looking for is, I brought you into this world and I will take you out.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that growing up. Lord, I used to say for a while, if you look up ass whooping in the dictionary, you see a picture of my sorry face.
No, I hear you. It was a very, you know, it was different in my household. It wasn't necessarily like physical violence, but it was a lot more like mental anguish. Like
that too. Oh yeah. Yeah. Give me a reason to come in there or something like that. Yeah. I got that. Yeah, believe you me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, video games is just an outlet to get away from the bullshit that is day in and day out life, whether you are a student in regular school and you're tired of this and that, you don't want to do your homework, whether you are a college student, you're trying to get yourself some free time, whether you are an adult and you're like, you know what, my boss just got on my last nerve, so you know what, I'm going to sit right here, play some Final Fantasy 14 with my squad and have a good time. And as realistic as the games can get, we just got to remember, it's just plain fun. At that point where you're walking up into the bodega holding out a thing of gold saying you want this, at that time we need to pull you aside and be like, look, we need to sit down and have a good talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rama, thank you so much for the call and the perspective. I appreciate it, and it's just it's one of those things. I think we all know it. If you're here listening to Orange Lounge Radio because you enjoy video games that much that you're seeking out a podcast where people talk about video, we're not even playing them. We're not even Twitch. We're not playing them right now. That's what you see on Twitch. We're just talking about them. If you're out there and you seeked out a podcast where people just talk about video games, like you clearly feel some of this too that we have, and video games probably helped you out in some way as well. And so that's why I think a lot of us get really angry when we see our industry get scapegoated for, you know, some of this like bullshit that we don't want to be associated. In fact, video games are the thing that we took to escape some of that bullshit. So y'all are passionate, and I get it.
Yeah, I'll say two more things. I'm going to get up on out of here because we know there's going to be one more person that's got to say this. Like, number one, like I said, don't thank me. Don't thank Raginator. Don't thank Act Def. We thank you because these topics is what separates OLR from other gaming podcasts. It's a bit of real life coming in, and you got to understand if we don't talk about what goes on in real life, it can affect your hobbies as a whole. You can't just ignore that. And number two,
I was just saying, I really, really appreciate that. I do feel other podcasts address real life issues in their own way, but every dinner table's different. And, exactly. You know, this, I wouldn't have it any other way here. And I appreciate you. You know, we don't, and I say this every week, you know, we don't have the audience that Giant Bombcast or I don't even know who the other big players are anymore. IGN. I'm about to sit here and go, we don't have the numbers of the 1UP show. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's a website I've been around for like 12 years.
Maybe we do have them.
Maybe numbers. Maybe we do have those numbers.
But just so you know, somewhere in storage, when they had like this, some gaming convention here in New York City years ago, 1UP was there. There was a pic. I have like a little 1UP ID badge card of me cosplaying Kyosuke. It's somewhere in my storage, okay?
Yeah,
so
no.
Every time I see that. And whatever those big, I look at it this way, the big gaming podcast, that's like having a ticket to see Cher.
Well, you know, someday we might become the number one radio or podcast in Sacramento, but unfortunately we're not.
That space is taken at this time. Yeah, I know.
Someone may claim that.
It happens. No, Rob, I totally get it. Like Giant Bombcast, that's like Cher. We're like that underground thing that somebody wrote a zine about.
Yeah, y'all are like Mega Ran in the crew at this local spot, and when you
that is a fucking compliment. Mega Ran is fucking amazing. I will take that compliment and hug it.
Except no one knows us like Mega Ran, so
that's true. Except Mega Ran is more popular, but that's all right. It's fine.
it's like. Rob opens up the curtain and expect to see one. You know, there's like 100 of us just chilling, just waiting for y'all to perform. And then after the show, it's like Rob will sit on the edge of the stage and be like, yo, let me tell you some real shit right now. And it's like MTV Unplugged in a way. It's like you're getting real. And then afterwards, it's like you're hanging out at the merch table. We're buying some, and you're just talking to us like we bros. That's the best way I do, and that's part of the reason why I come in and do my best to listen, whether I am at my studio here listening while editing photos, or I'm coming back from hanging out with my squad in Jersey for a convention. As soon as I get uptown, I fire up TuneIn Radio to listen in to see what's going on. Or if I know I'm going to be out and I can't be back in time, I will message Dark Soccer about, you know, for the classic game so I can have it ready when I go home and do it. And when it comes to games, if it wasn't for me enjoying video games, I never would have discovered Ranma One Half Hard Battle. I never would have found the American version. I never would have gotten into the anime and cosplay. And I never would have been listed as a Ranma super fan and on the Blu-rays. And I never would have gotten so many friends and many fandoms. And, God damn it, Ron, you're making me cry.
I didn't say a goddamn thing, Rama, but I feel you so hard right now, Rama. I understand because like sometimes I think without gaming culture, without like the internet and what I've been like, I sometimes feel like without like getting introduced to technology and that culture, like Rama, I would probably have a wife in a house, like, and think what I mean when I'm saying that. I would probably have a wife and, heaven forbid, kids in a house somewhere in, like, Connecticut. And, like, my wife would be so unhappy in this marriage that she'd be buying a PlayStation 5 to fuck her.
God.
I mean, sorry, I had to bring it full circle somehow. But there is a serious point. There's absolutely serious point to that is that I oh, my God, like... Me too, yo. The video games helped me in a big way, and I just I wish those stuffy old coots up in the White House would realize that as well.
Yeah, and it's like I said on like in a chat room a couple weeks ago. I know people are shitting on Secret of Mana, but Secret of Mana got me through a really tough time in my teenage years. And no matter how people are gonna shit on it, if I can get myself a SNES Classic, just remember, this is where I was trying to deal with my teenage angst. Or I pick it up and then when I get my PS4 and I sit there and I shed a tear, remembering this is the game that got me through one of the toughest times in my life.
And you know what? And that's why when people like to talk about like these horrible video games and things that, you know, well, just like how Dark Sakura and myself and even Loki a little bit, we always stick up for the Guardian Legend, even though it's an NES game that people don't remember. Like, you got memories tied to things sometimes, and you're going to defend that game till the fucking last day because it helped shape who you are. And when somebody attacks it, it's attacking who you are. It's kind of like, you know, on a related but oddly similar note, it's like when people attack the Rocky Horror Picture Show and that whole community. Because y'all know that's been a big part of my life, too, and I've been doing that on and off for many years. And I have a lot to thank that community for as well. And I didn't even, like, it doesn't really have shit to do with the movie. The movie, it's a bad movie! But it's the community. It's saved my life. Like, literally, I can literally say that community saved my fucking life. And without, you know, that community, I wouldn't have met Travis. We wouldn't have podcasting with me and all that other stuff. So anyway, not to get on a tangent, but like when I see people like attacking that community, or like these like Tumblr brats who talk about like all the problematic shit and stuff, I'm like, who haven't even gone and experienced it for themselves, I get really irritated. I do.
You are, look, when it comes to those goddamn Tumblrites and my fandoms and cosplay and this and that, we, the old guard, we just want to sit there, gear up, take them out. I'm like, nope. We should get up in the stands. Say up in the cheerleading section, balcony, whatever. Just eat our chips. Watch the Tumblrites destroy what we create. Then we come back downstairs and be like, you wrecked it. Now will you listen to us?
Here's the thing. I think you can challenge things and make it better. I think you can do that. But a lot of it is in how do you deliver that message? Like, you know, I'll go back to Rocky with one thing. Is I was fortunate enough, like I've kind of like I made it with that where I got to host a panel at a local convention here that actually had three of the actors from the movie. Including Barry Boswick, who's, you know, prolific with a lot of other things he's done. By the way, actually, I get to do it again on April 20th. We're actually doing Rocky Horror here in Sacramento live with Barry Boswick, so cheap plug. But anyway, I've been fortunate enough to do a panel with him and the actress Patricia Quinn Magenta and Nell Campbell, who played Columbia. And one of the things that came up at the panel, the reason why I bring this up is, you know, they were asked, is there something they don't like about what this turned into? Is there something they don't like? And something they kind of said is that, you know, when we've kind of seen some of the midnight screenings and things, it feels like some people are just trying to be there to swear as much as possible and say fuck and interject their stuff as much as possible. We just kind of wish like it would be, you know, like the callbacks, like of course those are going to happen, but they should be smarter. And I know after I heard them say that, I was like, you know, they're right. Like this shouldn't be a contest about yelling as many incoherent lines as possible. Like it should be like any good joke, like hit him hard and hit him heavy with a real good joke, but then you just back off for a little while until you have another real good joke. You know what I mean? So my point with that is ever since then, I've really kind of went with Rocky to just, I don't necessarily have to yell something at every part, but I'm going to just yell like the 20 funniest things I know when the movie's going on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it actually does.
So anyway, Rama, I cut Raginator off after 10 minutes and here we are going on 15, but, your call was awesome. Of course, all the calls we get here are awesome, but I really appreciate you and your perspective. And I can't thank you enough for the kind words that you give us here that and everybody really out there. I know you're the one that's here now that really are the fuel as to how we're able to punch in and do this across 722 weeks like we've been doing it. I appreciate you guys so much. You don't even know.
I just wanted to call in just to tell you, you're not getting political. To me, it's not political because it's topics that do affect us. And sometimes we got like We got to put the controllers down, pick up the pens and paper, and we got to talk about this real quick. Then we can go back to playing Street Fighter, you know?
It's, and I guess maybe a lot of it, Rama, comes down to the whole, you know, like a, kind of that same line I just mentioned about in how you deliver the message. Because I realize there's many people out there that voted for the, obviously, or he wouldn't be president. There's many people that voted out there for him. And I come in this really rough place because I have to accept that there's people that are going to have other perspectives. And even though I sometimes really want to be angry about it, because I think, how could you vote for a vice president like that guy that is really against me as a person over something I can't control, right? There's that part of me that gets really angry, but it's like, but I'm not going to change minds by screaming at this person what a trash bag they are.
True, true.
So I have to try to, like, respect the position even when I don't understand it. So I hope y'all will understand. That's what I try to do with some of the politics on the show, is that I realize, you know, there's probably some real, there's probably some people, if they haven't tuned out already, there's probably some people out there that fucking love guns that are out there. And I don't get it. And it's one of those things, I'm trying to respect it, but at the same time, now y'all are coming from my community, the video game community, and no, y'all, there's a real gun issue in this country. And as I said earlier, everybody agrees, bump stocks, bad. So let's at least start there. Like, why is this so difficult? That's what I'm having a real hard time understanding right now.
Let me say this, hell up on out of here.
Yeah.
I serve Marine Corps. I shot weapons. I have actually gone out to the range and shot weapons for fun. Mm-hmm. I like shooting an M16A2 service rifle.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as a gamer and as a regular person, you don't need a fucking rifle in your house. I understand you want to protect. A 9mm is fine. Your fists, whatever. But you don't need a motherfucking rifle in your house. You don't need it. There is absolutely no reason for it.
I personally agree, but unfortunately you and I right now aren't the ones changing the laws, but all we can do is yell and scream until the people we think that would accurately represent our positions are the ones in office. That's all we can really do. All right, Rama, I really got to let you go.
Respect the good fight. Okay.
All right. Take care, my friend. Take care. All right.
Bye.
All right. And with that, I am going to close up the Skype line tonight. Thank you so much for the calls. I really appreciate it. That was a really heavy end to Orange Lounge Radio tonight, but it was good. Loki, you weren't saying much, but hopefully you found it good.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, right? Anything you want to add or say?
No. I don't know. I can't really think of many instances where video games have kind of saved my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody brings different perspectives to it, but there's something that keeps you with them, right? Why do you keep going back to video games?
Because it's fun. It's entertaining. I mean, I have other things I entertain myself with.
There's really nothing wrong with that answer either. There's really nothing wrong with that answer. I think for Rama, it was to sometimes like video games were fun because the outside wasn't a lot of fun. And maybe for Act Deft, it was a similar thing where video games were the fun thing you do because there's not a lot of fun news in the community sometimes. And for me, it was like I like to play video games because it was something I could talk to other kids about and not get teased for being overtly homosexual or whatever you want to call it.
There's lots of things that I find fun and entertaining. Video games is one of those things.
Sure. And I like Rocky, as I just talked to you. We've all got our other things. So, yeah, I get it. I get
it.
And
if we had a Q-Zar nearby, I'd be doing a podcast about Q-Zar.
There you go.
We don't, so... I saw, like, we literally drove by. There's the Fair Oaks Laser Tag place, which used to be Laser Force, which was our, like, stiff... That was like, no, they were the, you know... They're the enemy. Boo, Laser Force. Yay.
Now they're the only ones still in town.
Well, they're in town, and same with Laser Quest, which is the one at Golfland. I hate both. I haven't actually played Laser Force, so I can't knock it. And they have Laser X near us, too. But Q-Zar, man, that was the one that I played and I got hooked on. And sadly, all those centers are the nearest ones in Vacaville, which is like a 45-minute drive away. So.
Yeah.
And it's not maintained well either.
All right. Well, anyhow, we are going to end Orange Lounge Radio on that note tonight. Thank you guys so much for the calls, and I really appreciate it. You know, yeah, we went a little deep tonight, but sometimes that's just the way life's going to go. You know, that's how we get through some of these difficult weeks together, sharing stories. So thank you guys, as always, for listening to the show. As I do always say, if you enjoyed the show, help us spread the word. A nice 5-star review on iTunes goes a really, really long way, as does word of mouth. Tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, as long as the voices are here to put out there. And who knows, maybe after our discussion tonight, there's going to be some more people that want to speak up. So I encourage you to. Let's have a civil discussion. Participate at orangelaundry.com. You can we read the tweets, even if we don't always respond to everyone on air, but at OLR on Twitter, as well as Facebook, facebook.com/orangelaundry. But that is it. We're going to be back in 7 days. Jamie will be back. She missed a heck of an episode tonight. I'm sure she would have had a lot to say. So we'll just have to check in with her next week. But hope you're feeling better if you're out there, Jamie. And we'll see her in 7 days. We'll see you guys in 7 days. Before we roll the credits, let's get everybody's final thought. Loki, I'll start with you. Your final thought tonight.
My final thought is, I guess I'll have to play. Well, I am going to play some more video games this week, because Burnout Paradise Remastered is coming out, and I am going to buy that.
Yes,
definitely want to get back into
that.
Yes, and I do need that. I do need the work on my game. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's, I got to restart. If I was going to do It's Time the Car, which I don't even know if I'm going to do that anymore. I'd have to restart it completely anyways, and so it's just kind of finding a project that I really want to work on. The project I really want to work on is so fucking huge in scope that I can't work on it, so that's the only bummer with that, but I have to find something new.
I know you're so against this idea, but even I have to echo Bobby Blackwolf and say,
Just do something.
Start with a Pong clone. Start with just do something. Start with a clone. Do something. Finish a product. Feel good about it. Then tackle the bigger stuff.
That's the problem. I don't feel good about something
you don't,
like that.
How would you know when you don't finish anything?
I know, because fine. I will do something.
Yeah, thank you. ActDev says Pong with cars. There you go.
Pong with cars. No, okay, but I have ideas. It's just the problem is they're too grandiose. Well, so.
Do what the Titan team did at Blizzard and dial it back to its strongest concept, which was Overwatch.
Yeah, well.
All right, I'm trying. All right, that's a long final thought. My final thought is I had the Marshmallow Peeps Oreos this week, and they're actually really good. I don't care how you all feel about Peeps. There's no marshmallow in the cookie, so if you're like, ugh, marshmallow, it's not in the cookie. It just tastes like Peeps. And I liked them. Sorry if you didn't. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.